welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, good morning. 866-901-ADAM. That's the phone number. Dave Damashek, Rachel Perry. Who's coming in? Ah, Jeff Probst is coming in. Survivor. Watched it last night. Did an abridged version of my Survivor dance, which I do at the beginning of every Survivor episode. I do it for my wife, mainly.
How does it look?
I'll give it an A. Oh, how? Oh, you want me
is
to
it
do it?
I'd like to see it. I mean, I don't... I know this is radio, but...
Barely.
I feel like at least I could give a description.
Well, here's the thing. I have to be consumed by the music. You know, I'm not some monkey that, you know, you flick a switch and yell dance and I start jumping around. The music has to hit me. If I was hearing the Survivor music right now, I'd be moving around, no problem.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, I'm hearing it in my head because we're talking about it.
But you mean hearing it in your loins?
If everyone was hearing it, I would gladly do it. It's funny, you just talk about something, you start hearing the theme. It's like, you start talking about cut grass, and you start smelling it. You know, that's what I'm doing right now with the Survivor music.
Maybe it's that you paint such a great picture, but I feel like I'm hearing it now, too.
Well, that's what you do. It's called theater of the mind.
I see.
Yeah. I just stopped doing it, by the way. Now I'm doing it again.
You're thinking about it again?
Well, I'm doing the beginning part in my head. Yeah, I paint such a vivid picture. You see, your ears are my canvas, and my brain is the brush. You know, I haven't exactly worked the beats out on that, but you know what I'm saying. I paint such a vivid picture. It's like a great storyteller starts talking about a tour of a bakery, and you can smell the hot bread.
Mm.
That's what's going on with Survivor right now. I can hear it in my own head. And hopefully if I do a good enough job of illustrating the Survivor point, you guys will hear the theme as well.
You've transported us
to another remote island. Yeah, in another time. I'll be 12 hours ago on CBS, but still another time.
Yes.
Not this time.
Has it overtaken you enough to display your dancing abilities?
Well, it's a little early. My joints aren't as good as they used to be. But it's sort of a cross between a rain dance and an end zone celebration. It's sort of that, although less taunting of my wife. I used to do a lot of that in the first season. I backed off. I do the Survivor dance. I did an abridged one last night because they had a shortened beginning. They usually do a long-winded one.
They?
I know. For me, it was basically rape. Nothing short of it. That's what I felt. And so I did that last night. Watch Survivor. So Jeff Probst will be in here. Louis C.K., comedian Louis C.K. is going to be in here. He's the comedian's comedian. So he'll be in here doing his thing. We got more karaoke songs coming up. I wouldn't mind some home improvement questions. I talk about it from time to time, and then I forget about it. And then I call for the questions, and then I forget about it, and I lose interest in it. But if you have any home improvement questions, I can answer just about anything. Call up. I'd like to talk to you about that. All right, so couple of topics. One, this whole political cartoon thing which is going on in the Muslim world has gotten to such a point. Now, obviously, they don't show the offensive cartoon, and the reason they state they don't show the offensive cartoon because they don't want to offend anybody in that community. They will gladly play the Benny Laden tapes or show the hostages being beheaded. That's not going to offend anybody, but They're not going to show the cartoon that's drawn. And what it is they don't want crap. That's all deal. I'm starting to think now the entire Muslim world is being treated like just crazy homeless people, where it's like, look, this guy's sitting on the lawn. Who's going to tell him to move? I'm not going out there. Why not? First off, the guy's probably got hepatitis C. Who the hell knows? I go out there and tell him to move along. He lunges at me. He hits me, stabs me with a syringe in the neck. Or something. Just let him sit there. Yeah. I'm not going to do it.
You can get away with just about anything in this world if you pretend you're crazy. Like if someone's attacking you.
Right, just free.
You start praying. You start like calling the Lord out. Yeah, people won't touch you. You're right.
Right. Speaking in tongues is a nice one. I'm going to start. Shandala, shandala. Next time anything goes wrong. Next time I get called into someone's office or my wife wants to know where I've been or I'm accused of being neglectful as a husband or anything, I'm just, Shandala! Yeah. Yeah, you know, here's the thing. If you're a religious zealot, you can really, it's a nice out for just about everything in life. Mm. It's essentially handicapped parking for life. I'll do what I want. I'll park where I want. And then push comes to shove, worse comes to worse. Hey, man, this is what I was told by the Almighty. What do you want? We're going to go argue with him.
Do you get the same kind of loophole for being a non-religious zealot?
No. No, you don't.
If you're really anti-religion, you don't get the same out.
You can be one of those angry atheists who becomes consumed with, you know, the cross being on the crest of the Los Angeles city, whatever. But nah, I don't think so, because then you're sort of too sane and you just don't have the same loopholes. I'm just saying, I know all these news organizations don't show the cartoon because who the hell wants to examine every letter, every package? Now, the next morning after you show the cartoon, you then have to, then a suspicious package shows up in, and by the way, what is a suspicious package? It's got skull and crossbones on it. Well,
it says Acme.
Yes, it says Acme, and there's a Wile E. Coyote paw print on it. Like, how the hell, what do you mean suspicious package? All packages, everything I get is suspicious.
Well, Dave Coulier at Dancing and Skating with the Stars.
That's a nefarious package.
Below his belt. That was...
That's a very suspicious package.
I raised an eyebrow there.
It's a good point. Hopefully we'll have his package on at 9 o'clock hour, too. His thoughts on being thrown
off
the show.
Well, maybe it'll call in.
It'd be nice if we can get a phoner or a boner. Either way. Possibly both. Point is they don't want to show this because they don't want any crap. They just and they're pretending to have sort of reverence, and that's what people do. They, you know, if you really think about religion, which is somehow, I don't know where it went. Religion, or at least religious discussion or religious stories that made the news, seemed to have taken a nap throughout the 80s, which I was happy about. You know, well, it was all Miami Vice. Everybody was just, it was all about doing some blow and not wearing socks and playing some techno music, and it all went away. And now it's back. Which is weird because you turn on the news, it just dominates. A church being burnt, this, you know, Muslim community's outrage.
What are you thinking about right now, Adam?
It's funny, I started thinking about Miami Vice.
I actually started
thinking about the theme song, you know. You guys can't hear it, but I summoned it in my mind, you know. I can really just picture it.
We're really on the same page with you. You're a powerful communicator because all you said was Miami Vice, and now
you're hearing it too?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just popped into my head. I mean, I definitely could reference it.
That means I'm doing my job.
You barely got the sketch pad out.
Yeah.
And the music, I felt like, I feel like I can almost hear it.
Thank you. That's the ultimate compliment. And I only hope I can share that with the people at home. You know what I mean?
If only you could, but I just don't think... I mean, you are powerful, Adam, but I'm not even sure you're that powerful to be able to do something like that.
The day the people at home can hear the theme to Miami Vice and hear the theme to Survivor, we're done. And it's time to leave.
You're getting close.
I'm thinking of Survivor now.
I could tell. I totally. It's almost like I can hear your thoughts, but they're not in words. Like you haven't gotten powerful enough to transmit actual words, but the idea.
Mm. We should keep working. We should keep moving because it's probably boring for the people at home. They're just hearing us talk about it. They're not actually hearing the themes. All I was saying was is. Religion is back in a big way, and everyone has to pretend to be very reverent of other people's religious beliefs when, by definition, you think they're crackpots. That's what religion is. You've picked a team. It's Judaism. It's Christianity.
It's the Steelers.
Jehovah. Steelers.
And all else will burn.
It's Muslim.
Yes,
and the rest are going to burn in hell.
In common.
Now, along the way, somehow, you have to pretend like these other people may be right when, in fact, you know they're not right. Otherwise, you wouldn't have hitched your wagon to this team. I don't know why we pretend that. It's overcompensation. I feel bad for you, Mr. Muslim or Mr. Jew or Mrs. Jehovah. You'll be burning in hell while I'm walking the streets paved with gold. This is going to be awesome. But in the meantime, I'll just be nice to you. Pretend like I care. Pretend like you have a point. There could be no greater example, if you really think about it, you know, and there's other parts of life where it's like, all right, I like this, but you like that. I could see the merits of that. But religion, there should be none of that.
It's the ultimate team that you join, really.
Right.
I mean, I know Dave likes the Steelers, but I don't think he thinks that the Seahawks fans are going to burn in hell.
If they keep up this talk about the refs fixing the
yes,
game.
And, maybe they and or if they'd won or covered the spread.
Correct.
Those are the three options for them burning in hell. But here's the thing. At least you got to give it to the Muslims because they're honest about it. They do think, like, look, we have the best religion. You guys are idiots for embracing whoever you embrace, and we'll see in hell. As a matter of fact, we'll help you get there.
And Americans are infidels.
Yes, at least they're wearing it. Now, we believe that they're nuts, and their beliefs are insane, and they're worshiping false idols and all this stuff. We just kind of keep it to ourselves, and we pretend like we have respect.
They can be a little more extreme, you understand, because for us, it's 2006, and for them, it's the year 432.
Yeah.
They're
you're being
battle.
Generous. It was 84 last time
oh,
we
right?
talked. Yeah, they skipped ahead like 380 years.
I was
very
generous.
Yeah. All right, you did a fine job. Hey, they can look forward to the wheel. You guys there got that? That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to go to the I'd like to go to that part of the world and explain to them what's in the future.
Yeah,
you guys are going to have the wheel coming up.
Heaven forbid they ever find fire. Who knows what the
fire's just around the corner. None of you are going to be here for the light bulb or the typewriter. So I'm not even going to. I didn't want to explain what that is. I shouldn't have brought it up. The point is there's things coming. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, don't be angry.
Yeah.
It gets better. It totally gets better.
There are things called aqueducts. There's ways to pump water from the ground. You'll be burning whale oil.
Imagine
in your lanterns.
Imagine you could just show them like the Star Wars trilogy or Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. You know?
Yeah.
That probably would settle down. Oh, look at what we have. This is nice. This is a nice world.
That would make them love us. Well, the deal is I was watching CNN, I think it was, in the afternoon yesterday, and the cartoonists of the world have started to sort of fire back and draw their cartoons. And one of the cartoons was a sort of a clever cartoon with a strong message in it.
What did Family Circle have to say?
It was Marmaduke. Marmaduke had drawn a picture of Muhammad. It was a cartoon. It was a young child who drew a stick figure of Muhammad. And it like said like Muhammad, you know, like 5-year-old had drawn it, and he was showing it to like a sheikh who was like his dad or his uncle or something, and the caption was, "That's a beautiful picture. Now I'm going to have to kill you," which was poignant and everything. But CNN had to blur out the stick figure. Talk about pussies. They blur out the stick figure of the cartoon of Muhammad. You want to talk about it? No, that has nothing to do with religious reverence. And by the way, what reverence? They obviously think they're crackpots. Any sane person walking upright knows these guys are a bunch of just fanatic crackpots or way. I mean, if this was a religious arrow that they were trying to find their target with, this would be into a hay bale behind them. It wouldn't even hit. Forget about hitting the outer circle of the bullseye. This is a hay bale that's in the next county in terms of the direction they're going spiritually. But yet they can't do it because they don't want any crap. So they had to blur out the stick figure that was drawn of Muhammad. I just said, well, as an atheist, I just sit there and look at this stuff and think, what has happened? What is there another planet we can go to? Somebody has to start pumping oxygen into another nearby planet so all the sane atheists and agnostics can just get on a shuttle and head out. Sorry, folks. Look, I got the Jehovah's over here and the Hasidic Jews. You know, I'm driving home. I'm passing the guys with the beards dragging on the ground, dressed in black with the payos and the beanies and the whole thing. They got boxes strapped to their head. Oh, I turn on the news. It's the high holy days. You flog yourself as you walk through the streets of Jerusalem or Baghdad, you know, blood pouring from the heads of the martyrs who have inflicted wounds on their head. Then it's a little discussion about the Amish folks. They got the beard, no mustache. They're churning their own butter. They have the big reflectors on the wagons as they drag them down the street of Pennsylvania. And they got the Quakers and the Shakers. And I'm thinking, all right, where's my planet? I need a planet. I want a planet. We can just go there and have normal adult discourse. We can have discussions like intelligent human beings. We don't have to weigh in.
About Roadhouse versus Red Dawn.
That's right. The important issues. The truly important issues. We don't have to have any pro athletes explaining that they came out of retirement because Jesus forced them to. None of this nonsense. Wouldn't it be nice? I do believe there's more of us than we think. We're all just, it's all very quiet. Oh, no, yes, no, whoa. Everyone's so, actually, atheists feel guilty because we know all the religious people are nuts. And we know they're idiots, and we feel bad for them, so we try to pretend. It's like when a retarded kid gets a bad haircut. Oh, no, looks great. Looks fantastic. No, Jehovah or Judaism, looks great on you, Timmy. Fantastic. Looks great. And then we get in the, you know, we close the door and say, oh man, that buckethead. Did you see that tard's hairdo? What an idiot. Can you believe that crap? Listen, and this one too. Hey, I think what you people are doing is great. It's a Christianity thing. I will never go to church. I will never open the Bible. I will never have any meaningful discussion with you about spirituality. But what you're doing is, it makes perfect sense. It does? I'll have no part of it.
What is the thing, though? Why are these people, the Muslims, are outraged at Denmark and now us, too?
Well,
because we're the leader.
Because the cartoon illustrated the fact that some extremists have used the faith to justify blowing stuff up. Do they remember that some extremists actually did do this thing?
Yeah, I remember shouldn't that one story back in the late 70s.
Shouldn't the moderate Muslims be angry at the extremists?
Yes.
For doing this, not us? I guess it's like our country. It's like, who's going to put these Christian fundamentalists in line? Oh, yeah, our president is one of them. I guess that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I felt good for a little while. I was thinking that I was happy that, you know, all the anger was going towards other countries for a change.
It was nice.
And then, of course, they found a way to turn it on us because we are the leader of the infidels.
Yes. Well, it was nice to see other flags burning for a change. Let's take ourselves a question and shift some gears here. Huh, what was that?
You almost thought about
Survivor.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah?
What's up?
Hey. I don't have a question for Survivor. I have a question for the CNN news thing.
Mm-hmm.
Muhammad.
Yeah.
Was just the stick figure blurred out, or the name too that was next to the stick figure?
They cropped it actually so that you couldn't, and they said, we're cropping it so you can't see the offensive stick figure of Muhammad. And I don't remember if the Muhammad part was cropped out or not. Why? Does that make a difference?
I'm just wondering, because was the stick figure, was it just a regular stick figure with no face on it or something?
Are you a theologian, Chris? What do you need?
I was just wondering, because that's pretty stupid that they would block out the stick figure, but not the name.
Yeah. No, look, you're asking, if you're asking for logic, you've come to the wrong world in the wrong time. Of course. The whole thing about religion in general is it just defies logic. You got to believe. You got to have faith. That's all. All I'm asking is, could we agree on one far-fetched fairy tale? I feel like I'm being hit with 9 or 10 constantly. That's all. Let's just get on the same page.
Like DC Comics versus Marvel. You have two of them going. Let's just unify.
Yes. They're all sort of semi-retarded, far-fetched fairy tales that have been cooked up because people are scared to die. Fine. I understand you guys are weak and you're scared to die and you have to invent some sort of amusement park you're going to go to so you can be reunited with your cat and your grandparents. Fine. You're scared. I understand. You're human. You have weak minds and you're scared to death about dying. Or really more so scared about stuff you don't know about. That's what freaks you out. But what happens? What happens after you die? Are we that narcissistic that we think something has to happen after our heart stops beating?
What do you think, Adam? When you die, that's it? That's the end of it? What do you think happens to you?
I'm willing to go along with that.
Of course, you must carry on.
I'll be carrying on. That's right, because this couldn't be it. This couldn't be it. It seems like a lot. Seems like more than enough.
Yeah, let's unify the fairy tales at the very least.
That's
it's the
right.
same as like it's the same as the sci-fi people with the Star Trek versus Star Wars. If they would unify, how much better would it be if Kirk and Skywalker could join forces?
I agree. So listen, all your religious nut jobs out there, let's get on the same fairy tale page at least.
Like
and then
that.
Maybe I'll join your ranks just not to stick out at that point. Now I'm getting pulled in 1,000 different directions. To me, it's based on what day is your day of Sabbath versus what day they play college ball, pro ball, you know what I mean? For mm-hmm. me, like, I'd be much more apt to go toward Judaism and miss some college game day stuff than I would ever go to Christianity because, I mean, Sunday's over at Kimmel, forget about it. Yeah. Darren?
Hey, Adam, how you doing?
What's happening, my friend?
Got a question for you. What do you think about tankless water heaters? Are they worth it?
Tankless water heaters. Yeah. Here's the thing, everybody. You have a water heater at home. It's 20 gallons. It's 30 gallons. You're just perpetually heating 30 gallons of water. Perpetually. You go on vacation to Europe for 6 weeks. You're keeping water at 110 degrees. Whatever it is, everyone who's here right now is having their water heated at home because it sits in a huge tank.
What?
Yes, you are. An
what?
Outrage. Tankless water heaters heat the water instantly. So right now, it's just hooked up, but it's not heating. There's no reservoir. There's no hopper filled with water. And when you call for the water, it heats it as it gives it to you. It sounds great, but it's not exactly... Depends. You need the right size thing and everything. It's not exactly on demand. Obviously, if you have a huge tank of hot water waiting for you, it's going to be faster than having to heat the water. But in general, a good idea. You know what you can do, Darren?
What's that?
You can get yourself a tankless water heater, and you can use it with a small tank. So you have a little hopper, like a little 10-gallon water heater. You have a little hopper ready to go. As you use that, it's heating the other water to replace it. That's not bad.
I say what range you have? From discourse to water heaters. Spectacular.
Thank you, Sheck. How far away is the water heater from where you need it? Where you need the hot water?
The water heater right now is in the garage, and then it's a two-story house, so depending on what bathroom you're in, or it's really close to the kitchen.
Yeah. Because here's the thing, too, that a lot of people may not know about once the... might want to use is they have little pumps and things to actually get the farther the bathroom gets away from the hot water heater, the longer it takes for the hot water to come out of the spigot. So if you have an upstairs shower and you have the thing down in the garage, it may take 10 minutes before the hot water starts coming out. They have little pumps and little devices and things they can do to get it instant the furthest away from the heater. Yeah, I'd look into it. It's a life changer. Hold on, someone's a Satanist. Armando?
Yes, sir.
You're into Satan?
No. I was being, a little...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have, it's like these Mormons and whatnot that come to my residence, every other weekend and don't seem to get the point,
Yeah.
But I'm going to hell. I got flames shooting out of my,
Yeah, well, listen, a couple things. First off, that axiom, I'll see you in hell... Again, means you'll be in hell too, so I don't like it. It's like saying, I'll see you in quicksand. No, I'll be standing on dry land and watching you in quicksand. I will see you. Like I said, I've modified it. I will see you in hell through a thick, insulated piece of Lexan and a porthole. And I will be enjoying myself in a climate-controlled environment while I'm viewing you through hell. That's what it's going to be. But here's the other thing, too. If enough cool people are going to hell, I say it's not going to be such a bad place. Never get to hang out with Damashek and Rachel and Bill, engineer's gay, so we'll check you out in hell. Yeah, we'll see you there. I mean, almost everyone I know is going to be in hell. Everyone is over at Kimmel's on Sunday playing ball. That's a pretty good crew to hang with. I'm just
saying.
Who wants
to be up in heaven with all the squares?
Yeah. Let's flood hell with all the cool people, and then it will become heaven.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm actually going to be going on to another life after this one, so I'm not going to be in either heaven or hell. I'll be inhabiting another body, be it animal, vegetable, mineral.
Well, I know, whenever you talk to one of these people that are into reincarnation, they were nobility in the past. Nobody cleaned the stall. They're all nobility. And I think the numbers will bear themselves out. If you look back, fully 90% of the populace was nobility, kings. things of that nature. Queens, kings, maidens, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was a handful of serfs that roamed the countryside. But you rarely run into them. You rarely run into the guy. What happened to you? I was an apprentice blacksmith. What happened? I got kicked in the head by a donkey. I was actually masturbating in a stall, and I had a donkey kick me in the head. Anyway, that was my former life. Here's the other thing, too. It's like, you were a brave knight at Her Majesty's Round Table in a past life. Now you're refilling the change machine at the coin op. Laundry? What happened?
Yeah, what did you do? Hey, who did you piss off?
This math ain't working for me. You're supposed to move up a notch on the ladder. I've seen your current life. Yeah. All right.
We should get someone in here to tell us what our former lives were.
Oh, I know I was brave. So, everyone was
so
brave in their former life. No one goes, what? In your my former life, I was a puss. Coward. They called me Sir Yellowstreak. Yes, as Sir Spineless of Loxingham. That was a wuss. World-class puss. I basically fled for a living. I'd flee from place to place. World-class fleer. Freestyle fleeing champion. Pounds low. All right, let's take a break. Yes, Braska, write that down. We need to get somebody in here to explain to us what we did. I know it was something noble. That's all. We'll, Jeff Probst coming in from Survivor. Look forward to that. Louis C.K. All that after this.
You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yes, you should. Jeff Probst from Survivor. An amazingly candid and, as it turns out, passionate man. I've talked to him many times, and I'm passionate about Survivor. I don't understand, like, I found out that American Idol had beaten the Emmys, or the Grammys, I should say, by like 11 million viewers, and not that I'm a huge fan of the Grammys, but please, everyone, with this American Idol, it's karaoke night. I know it seems like an easy target, and I know it seems like, well, here's what you do in radio, you come up with a bunch of stuff, you sort of half believe, and then you say you believe in it 110%, and that's how you kill 10 hours. I should say 4 hours, and then make it 20 a week. But the point is I've always felt this way about Survivor. I understand it later on, hey, there's Ruben Studdard, and you're pulling for the big guy. He's from your hometown. Or you're of color and heavy set, or you hear these guys' stories, you know, oh, he was adopted from Kosovo, and he had a tracheotomy. The doctors thought he wouldn't talk again. Listen to him. He's singing now. I love this kid. I'm pulling for him. I understand that in week number whatever, but them just going to another town and having another crackpot screw up the greatest love of all while Paula sort of shakes her head, 2 hours of that?
So if I came to your house and did karaoke, you wouldn't want me to sing it badly because you don't.
First off, as we've learned from doing our staff songs, it turns out the lion's share of people walking on the planet sing badly. I'm used to that. I mean, it's not a novelty. You know what I mean? Every time you know one of your friends has a couple of boozes and gets up there and tries to bang out the theme from Top Gun, it's horrible. And I understand that. Now, watching strangers do it, and half of them doing it with their tongue planted firmly in their cheek because they're putting people on just to get on TV, you know, these are the folks that are running the marathon. There's nine of them, and they're running them in three-piece suits while they're trying to hold serving trays. All right, it's nice for the first mile, but I don't want to watch these guys run the entire marathon in the eight-man dragon suit.
You like the talent is what you're saying. You want to cut down to the
right,
the meat.
Yes, it's funny. I'm picturing your voice now. I'm almost, I can hear it in my head.
Like a grinding pain almost, right?
I can't help it, though. I can't get it out of my head. It's like a bad used car song. Yeah,
no, I'm hearing it.
Are you hearing it, too? That's how good I am as a communicator.
I'm trying in order to, because I can, I have it lodged in my head forever. I mean, it's a pain and a shame that I'll live with forever, but I'm trying to get it out by thinking about your singing vehicle, because
Yeah, that's right. Try to think happy thoughts.
It's a good song. It's a good choice for you to sing that song. Mm-hmm. I enjoy your rendition.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it now, too.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Powerful stuff, yeah.
It's like I can hear it. I can feel the ambiance of a party while you're singing
it. Yeah, it's a good time. Yeah. Yeah. My point is, shut that off in my head, would you, Mike? My thing is how could this be so big? Are there that many just vacuous teenagers running around?
It's the same reason that all the songs you hate got to number one on the charts.
Maybe it is, but man, 2 hours of it, and then city to city to city. Now we're in Portland, and here's a bunch of other people that can't sing. Oh, here's this one chick that can sing. She's a little heavy set. She'll have to overcome that. And then here's a bunch of other people that can't sing. I don't know why. And I know these people have, hey, man, I've wanted to sing my entire life. You're 19. You have no former entire life. You've been out of high school for 9 months. I don't care about what your dreams are. I was cleaning carpets when I was 19. That was my entire life. Let's just give it a rest until they whittle it down to the final 8 or 10. That's all I'm saying. They crush the competition. It's a juggernaut. So that's it, everybody. I live in a society where NASCAR's number one, American Idol's number two, and I got to hear about religious nut jobs taken to the streets every 5 minutes. This is great. Again, we got to start it. We got to launch a planet and then inhabit it. Jason?
Yes, how are you doing today?
You're into NASCAR and reggae.
Yes, I am.
Well, we were talking about that yesterday. Who has that kind of range? Evidently, Jason from Las Vegas.
Yes, I wanted to invite you down, watch some NASCAR, and listen to some reggae.
And let me explain this, as I was talking to someone about hockey yesterday about this. Anytime somebody has to use the "you have not seen it in person" argument, that means it's only so good. I've watched it on TV 1,000 times. It's not that interesting. Oh, you haven't. They don't do that with porn.
Exactly.
You're not interested in watching porn. You got to come down to the set. Oh, no, it's plenty good at home. You never say that about things that are good. Football and porn, no one ever says, okay, I know you don't like porn. I know you don't like the football playoffs. You have to come down and watch it in person. It's totally different. They say that about hockey and NASCAR and other things you're not really that interested in, but they never say that about the good stuff. All right.
I got a new, I actually got a new reggae album yesterday by that. Have you heard about that Jewish guy, the Hasidic Jewish reggae guy?
Midas Yahu.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah,
no.
I meant to bring it, you know, and I'm bummed I left it in the car. I meant to bring it in.
He's an Orthodox Jew, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty, you know what,
maybe it's not,
I can
it's
go
not
download
a novelty.
It from iTunes.
It's not, no,
he's
Too Live Jew.
No, he's very serious, and you know, it's pretty good.
All right, we'll bring
but
it
But he
in.
Only became an Orthodox Jew about 3 years ago, but he's a devout one now, and if you, he has a wife, and if you try to shake her hand, he gets angry. You're not allowed to touch her.
And as a woman, you can't touch him. I know someone at VH1 who interviewed him, and they get so, like, it's like so offensive.
Well, again,
to touch a woman to touch him.
I've learned you must have reverence for crackpots. We must have. See, if you think you're Napoleon and you ask that we salute you every time we see you, we just go, hey, listen, crackpot. I don't know what planet you're living on, but no, I'm not going to salute you. You're nuts. But if you subscribe to some other retarded idea where we can't shake your wife's hand or look at you or you hump through a sheet or you can't use electricity on Saturdays, you believe that retarded fairy tale, then we have to all buy into it. Oh, hey, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Let's just do it with everything. Like I said, Napoleon, we got to salute you. It's funny. Yeah, it just as long as you call it religion, then we're all sort of hijacked by it. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to look you in the eye. I didn't know your wife's supposed to have a hood over her head. I didn't know it was forbidden to touch. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to draw the stick figure of Muhammad. Can we get this, by the way? Can we laminate this and get me one of those quarterback wristbands?
Yeah,
so I can figure out what's going on. Let me look down the chart here. Let's see, Judaism. Okay, Saturday. Okay, I got it. I'm going to audibleize and punt.
Why do I have to know as much about your religion as you do, just so I don't offend you?
Yes,
please. It's my choice not to know about your religion.
Thank you. Please, all sane atheists, let's rise up. Can we do that? Because it's taken over. It's kicked into overdrive.
As atheists, we should make our own set of rules that other people need to follow. Yeah. I can't believe you just said that about my non-God.
I have one simple rule as an atheist. Screw you and your retarded rules. That's the beauty. That's my one rule. That's how it goes. All right. Brent?
Brent?
Yeah. You're going to do a little upgrading in the bathroom?
Yeah, I got this tub, man.
I already don't believe you. Yes?
Bathroom. I tore out the room below. I tore all the lath and plaster out.
Yeah.
And I want to put a bathtub in, but I don't want to have to go through getting another permit and dealing with the city.
All right. Well, you should. You should bootleg it, and you know, the only problem would be is if you talked about it on the radio. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah.
You didn't say where I was from, right?
All right. No, I didn't say you're from Portland.
Oh, that'll work.
Here's the thing. Yeah, go ahead and do it. Bootleg it. I bootlegged half the crap I do. Screw the city. Oh, they just want money anyway.
How do you get the appraised value? I still want to get counted for a full bath.
Yeah, I understand how that works. You know, people do a lot of this. We turn the garage into a spare bedroom, but we bootlegged it because here's the deal. The man will come over and bend you over, and he'll dry hump your wallet while he's raping you. That's what the man does. That's what the city does, the permits, the red tape. All right, so you want to bootleg something? Go ahead and do it. Now, it doesn't get assessed. Your house is not a three-bedroom. It's still a two-bedroom. And when you sell it, it goes down as a two-bedroom. But nobody buys your house sight unseen. They walk through the house. They see the bedroom. They see the garage has been converted into a bedroom, and they're in. I mean, everyone think about it. If you're buying a house and it says one bathroom, but the reality is it's two bathrooms because they converted the closet into a bathroom. If they did a good job, it's two bathrooms and you're in. Your wife still likes it. She doesn't want to see the paperwork. Fine. Maybe there's a little break, but that's about it.
Can I just say, I've already praised you for being able in a 2-minute span to make a religious dissertation and then discuss home improvement. I defy Pat Robertson or the Culligan man to show that kind of range.
Are we playing Ask Us Rodeo right now?
We're always playing Ask Us Rodeo.
I didn't hear the music.
I only play exhibition Ask Us Rodeo,
right.
By the way. Not competitive Ask Us Rodeo.
Not anymore. It's not fair to other people.
No.
That's right. All right. Let's take a break. Dave's going to call the Culligan man. Hey, Culligan man! By the way,
how say you about the Muslim world?
We'll take a break. Dave's got one of his famous lists in the hopper and ready to go. We'll hear that after this.
You're listening to the new Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
That's right, 866-901-ADAM. Dave Damashek has one of his patented lists fired up, ready to go. I have no idea what it is. Dave does this from time to time. He picks a best of, and not the Oscars, not the Emmys, not the Super Bowl. He picks a list of things that affect you and I every day and tells you what the best one is. Yes,
right. I mean, we had however many awards were given out at the Grammys the other night, you know, all these musical awards, but I focused on the one aspect of music that you don't get to hear much about anymore. Hmm. Should we just go straight into it?
Yeah, let's do it. That was in a movie. I wouldn't have put that in a shaving commercial.
Yeah. Karate Kid, and little known fact, you'll be shocked by this, not only did that not win the Grammy that year, or an Oscar, it wasn't even nominated.
Now, I wish I could build a machine to go back and fix that.
When we have this new planet that you want to move off to, that song will be the national anthem.
Pumped into every corridor.
Yeah, the planetary anthem. Yes.
You'll have to stop and take your hat off. No, stop and drop your pants, because that's the way we're going to do it when I'm in charge.
I like the sound of this place. All right. So with no further ado, I will be today naming the best instrument to say. Now, you understand, instruments sound good.
Right.
When you blow into them or strum them, they can sound good. Mm-hmm. But there's another aspect that is too often ignored. I will write that wrong at this very time. I am going to give you the best instrument name to say. The most fun to say.
Please, come on, bassoon.
All right, here
Let's go.
Let's go,
bassoon.
Here we go.
Come on, bassoon.
The first nominee.
Bassoon.
Bassoon.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Well,
really?
Was that
the first, that the first one?
Yeah.
Scary.
Some stiff competition.
Yeah.
Namely, oboe.
Oboe's a pussy. Screw oboe. Bassoon kicks oboe's ass.
The next nominee. Hi-hat.
Ooh. Interesting.
The hi-hat. Number four. Cello.
Oh, interesting. All right. And wait, there's only five?
And one more.
Come on, flugelhorn. That'd be a good one.
Alto saxophone.
Oh, saxophone.
The alto saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
And.
All right, so let's go through the list of nominees very quickly one more time.
Bassoon.
Yeah, come on.
Oboe.
Ooh, strong.
Hi-hat.
Mm-hmm.
Cello.
Yeah.
Alto saxophone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your winner of the instrument name that is the most fun to say.
Come on, bassoon.
Cello.
Oh.
The cello. That's right. Here's why.
Yes.
Here's why. Because people are missing the pleasure of it by calling it not even a cello anymore. They call it a stand-up bass
often.
Oh, yeah, a lot of people like that? You know, jazz people and stuff. The stand-up bass. No, no, no. You're missing out on a great pleasure in life.
Cello.
Cello!
Yeah.
Number one.
Wow.
There you have
nice.
It.
Nice. Hey, you know, it's not a bad sounding instrument either. Sounds cool. Not a good Damashek sound, but good vibes. The vibes. The xylophone. That's the vibes. What do you play? The vibes.
They call
nice.
It that?
Yeah. Vibes, yeah. It's called the vibes. Yeah, maybe we'll play a little Herb Alpert.
Yeah, it's not vibes. The xylophone. It's a close brother of.
That's right. That's
the,
right.
This xylophone.
Where was pan flute in all this?
Yeah,
that's what
a good
I want to know.
We got to take ourselves a little break. We will be back. We will have news. We will have sports, and also Jeff Probst.
Congratulations, cello.
Yep.
You listen to Adam Carolla show. Call Adam New at 866-901. Adam.
That's right. 866-901-ADAM. Jeff Probst from Survivor. The hunk and the choker. He'll be in here in a few. We have news. We have sports. Christina?
Yeah.
Home improvement question?
Ew.
Hang on a second. There's breaking news here. Steve from San Francisco wants to correct Dave. Steve?
One word for you guys.
Yeah.
Glockenspiel.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Wow. I have egg
the
on my
community
face.
Is outraged.
I have egg on my face.
You did drop the ball
can
on
I,
that.
Can I tell you something? I've said this before once or twice.
Takes a
I'm
going to
say it again. Listen. Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing says to Swayze, he says, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And I've guided my life on that very thought. And listen, I made a mistake. I'm the first to admit it. And,
it takes
and
a big man.
If I can just say Glockenspiel.
You're a big man.
If that makes it.
Wow.
If that heals the wound,
Well, nothing's ever going to make it go away.
No.
I can't. I like when people do that. They interview the parent who's lost the child. Nothing's ever going to bring Brad back. All right, hold on. Where's my sketch pad? But. But it helps if we find the killer. You know, I always have to preface with, does it feel better now that you found the killer of your... And you always feel bad, but they always have to start with, well, nothing. Nothing's ever going to bring it back.
Just as Wayne Gretzky and his family have given a black eye to the sport of hockey, I feel I've given a black eye to my own awards. This is an embarrassment that I hope, in time, we can overcome.
Kimbra?
Yeah.
Diggery do?
Yeah, I have a protest also.
Yes.
Didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo?
That's a fun one.
Yeah.
But it tries.
Didgeridoo?
It tries too hard.
Yeah, it tries too hard. I agree. And it's not an actual instrument.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it's something that drunken natives of Australia play. That's all. Just the indigenous people live in the outback.
Hey, there are a lot. There's no shortage of I mean, you know, Moog organ.
Moog
didn't even make the cut.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. It's a novelty instrument. Here's the deal. If you go to see the Philharmonic, there's 80 instruments up there on stage. Not one of them is a didgeridoo. Yeah. It's off the list. I'm sorry. We must stop at some point.
Tell you what is, though. Viola.
Viola,
didn't
nice.
Didn't make the cut.
I heard
didn't
that oboe, oboe had been bribing the members of the voting community.
Oboe's publicist called because oboe's publicist also represents the bassoon. And the oboe's publicist said, unless you get oboe in on this list, you'll not get the bassoon. Mm-hmm. And Mike got the bassoon to do a phoner. The bassoon was going to be over at the Comedy and Magic store in Hermosa Beach over the weekend. He booked a phoner with the bassoon. But it's a lot of politics. I don't want to get into it.
The publicist can say whatever the publicist wants. But the oboe, I happen to know, was a part of a conspiracy to put a hit on the cello.
Oh, wow.
And one thing I will not stand for is that sort of, you know.
You don't negotiate with instruments?
Yeah, no, no.
Christina?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Okay, I have some concrete steps that are have paint that's all chipped up on them.
Yeah.
And I want to do that. Have you seen that stain, that real nice, you know, home improvement TV? They stain the concrete?
Yes. Now, do you want to stain it or do you want to paint it?
Painted, but the paint's peeling up.
All right. So you want to take the paint off. Yes. Okay. I think she has a bad line. Look, here's the deal. If you have an ugly driveway, patio, cement stairs, you can paint them. Use cement paint. I've done it in my garage floor, did it in some steps in my backyard. Or you can stain it. Here's what you need to do. Christina, are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Go to your local whatever place and rent yourself one of those high-pressure water sprayers, right?
Okay.
Use that. You hook it up to the hose. You fire up the Briggs & Stratton, and it creates, you know, 120 PSI concentrated on the spray, and the water will take the paint off. Use the high-pressure water thing to take the old paint off and then clean all the stains off the existing cement. Then you can patch it with some crack fill. They have that at the same place. They have cement patch. Then you can stain it. But if you stain it, keep in mind, you're going to see everything. It's semi-transparent. You're going to see all the flaws through it. If you paint it, it'll come out much nicer.
Sounds like a lot of work.
No, it is. But for those who care, it's not.
I have a washer, but I can't. It doesn't seem to be pulling the paint out.
The high-pressure washer's not doing it.
I have like a 250 PSI.
Is it electric or is it gas-powered? Huh?
It's a Honda gas powered.
And it's not doing it?
Oh.
All right. All right. Then listen. Now you got to get some brush on stripper. Get some of that gel stripper and brush it on. That'll bubble it up. Then hit it with the high pressure water. Then do what I told you to do. All right. That's it. That's how you remove paint.
It's so impressive, Adam, when you do that.
When I spit out.
Yeah. Well, when
the
you
home improvement stuff.
Well, then she was like, "It's not doing it." Wait, is it gas or electric? That came out of nowhere for me.
Well, the electric ones are just sort of the, that's your, not your industrial strength, the gas-powered ones. But she had one that's gas-powered, so she's got a paint on the remover now. And wear gloves, because it will sting your hands. All right, are we ready to do a little news and a little sports? Yes? How say us? Yes. Rachel Perry?
I say yay.
In Florida have confessed to the murder of 76-year-old Alan J. Shalig, the co-author of the Curious George books.
Mm-hmm.
He was brutally, apparently, murdered after being robbed. They robbed him and held him up, and then they disposed of his body under, like, some garbage bags. May have been there for a day or so before.
You say this happened in Florida. This is the first time something like this has happened.
And terrible, terrible timing, because the Curious George books are coming out, or the movie is coming out. And
no, I know. That's why it's like a few years ago when they came out with the hockey, the Olympic hockey movie, and the coach died. The actual coach died a couple weeks or a couple months before the movie. And they always give that speech. It's a shame that he's not. But if he was here, he would certainly be proud of. That's why I'm never going to do a movie. Don't write any books, don't do any movies. I mean, you can star in a movie, but you can't do a movie about your life or about your work, because they'll get you right before the premiere.
Mm.
Yeah, sad.
Neil Entwistle, who is currently in England and has been charged with the murder of his wife and infant child near Boston, has agreed to be extradited to the U.S. Scooter Libby, the former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney, testified to a grand jury he was authorized by superiors to leak classified information to reporters in 2003 from national intelligence documents.
Mm-hmm.
And President Bush said yesterday in a press conference that spying allowed them to foil a plan for a terrorist attack in 2002.
The mastermind of the September the 11th attacks had already set in motion a plan to have terrorist operatives hijack an airplane using shoe bombs to breach the cockpit door and fly the plane into the tallest building on the West Coast.
Yeah. The thing that was kind of weird is I was driving home from my Loveline gig one night in 2002, and the freeway right there was stopped, and there was tons of, cops and everything, and it traffic stopped both ways, and it was right underneath that building, and I was just thinking, something's going on here. Probably not this, but maybe it was that. I've never seen the freeway shut off both directions, and just cops and SWAT teams and helicopters everywhere. This is 12:30 at night, and we just sat there for an hour. And I kept thinking, oh, the building's going to fall down. It's going to land on me. Thank God I took the Mini. That's what I was thinking. Because so it's got a sunroof.
If you're going to die, you at least don't want your nice cars to go with you? Is that the point?
No. That is. Well, they're my children.
Yeah. Because your children are your cars. And
yeah. And then when I do eventually get the children, they'll become my cars.
You will drive them like the wind.
That's right.
And I was in fashion. I was in New York this week for Fashion Week. And, you know, usually we don't get the chance to report on our own stories. But while I was there, I did a little investigatory journalizing.
Mm, nice.
And, I was just trying to find out some very pressing questions, I think, that you've wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happened. This is what I found out.
What would you do if your car broke down?
Well, if my car broke down, I would probably panic.
Is that a chick?
It's like,
no.
My car. No.
I am a member of AAA, so I would call AAA. I'm not really confident that I could handle anything serious on a highway or on a, you know, even on a city street. I'd just be scared to get hit if I were even changing the tire.
I'd leave it on the side of the road, take off my shirt because I have a hot body, and wait for someone to pick me up.
Sad. I'll tell you, we were talking last week about men essentially turning into women and then women sort of turning into men, and I believe our paths will cross like an X in about 20 years.
We'll just be one gender?
I'll have an ovary
like
and a nad. Yeah, we'll be worms, and we'll all just go off and F ourselves in the corner. It's going to be a good day. Here's the thing. What happens? You know, we're talking about the terrorists and the dirty bombs and the apocalypse and all that. What happens if, God forbid, something like this happens and we have to start from scratch? It's essentially, Jeff Probst has come in. It's like an episode of Survivor. Everything has been leveled. The power's gone. Infrastructure gone. And it's up to us to build shelters, to dig wells, to reform society. And all we got is a bunch of Quimbys who are interested in sweater vests hanging around. It'll be a sad day. We'll be in no shape. You understand? Think about it, Jack. We have all the riders from Kimmel standing around, and someone is saying, we're walking through the tattered streets of Los Angeles, bodies strewn everywhere, smoke billowing. We've come across an SUV. If we could get the thing jump-started, we could make our way to safety, and it'd just be a whole bunch of Harvard guys standing there going, I don't know.
Standing there making jokes, trying to figure things out.
Where's
jokes
the hood?
Don't feed your kids.
What should we do?
Maybe somebody drives by.
Yes.
Help.
Maybe a lesbian will come by and help us.
I feel like that first guy in the interview there, that was the sound of your inner monologue if something happened to your car.
Yes.
What happened to my car? Oh, no.
That's what I would sound like. All I'm saying is, gents, it's fine in this world of cell phones and Blackberries and internet access. It's all fine that none of you know how to turn a wrench or drive a screw or do anything manly anymore. But what happens after the apocalypse and we're all just standing around staring at our Blackberries with black screens? Powerful.
That day could come soon. Sooner than we know.
God willing.
Anyway, I'm Rachel Perry, and that's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
This story about the gambling ring involving Phoenix Coyotes coach Rick Tocchet and Wayne Gretzky's wife Janet Jones just keeps getting better and better. Unnamed sources now say that during the course of the police investigation, the lovely Mrs. Gretzky bet about $500,000, including $75,000 on the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Egad, that's
foxy. Who'd
she
take?
Yeah. That much was not pointed out. It really should be.
It really should, yeah.
Janet was good enough yesterday to assure everyone that her prissy husband, Wayno, never made a bet. You know, she's defending him. She's taking care of him about as well as Dave Semenko and Marty McSorley, his Gretzky's goons, used to when he was playing hockey.
But let me just first catch everyone up. I don't know if you guys have heard, but Dave Damashek's from the Pittsburgh area. He loves the Penguins. He loves Mario Lemieux, who played for the Penguins. He can't stand the idea that Gretzky's held in higher esteem than Mario Lemieux, so he must attack Gretzky any chance he gets. Yes? How say you?
I say yay, but I think it's warranted in this case. He sullied his sport. Now, Wayno, the stand-up guy that he is, regarding accusations that maybe he had something to do with the gambling, here's his response.
I felt like the last 3 days I've defended myself over something that is absolutely unequivocally never happened, that I was not involved with. So in saying all that, I hope you appreciate that 3 days have been horrible. And I'm just too tired mentally and physically to talk any more about it. There's nothing for me to talk about.
Oh, you poor dear.
It's got to be
rough.
You
poor dear. But by the way, did he mention taking care of his wife at all?
No.
Janet! Janet, who's out there throwing C-notes around, I mean, throwing $100,000 bets around.
Yeah.
She's taking the time. Oh, no, don't get on poor Wayno. He can't take it. He can't bear the burden.
Yeah.
I had nothing to do with it. I'm exhausted emotionally.
Well, look, you got to know, if you marry someone called
the great one...
You're just sucking hind teeth, as they say. That's why I would never marry Prince. How are you gonna?
Right.
Of course, he's gonna be number one every time. His name is Prince.
Quickly, NBA last night, the Kings of Shorts and Enter were winners at home. Full slate in Pac-10 hoops. 12th ranked UCLA, 23rd ranked Washington, Arizona State, and Cal were your winners. If you're unemployed and looking for work, you might want to give the Oakland Raiders a call. They can't convince anyone to take their head coaching job. Steelers offensive coordinator Ken Whisenhunt thankfully turned them down yesterday, and Louisville head coach Bobby Petrino turned them down for a third time. Pathetic.
Well, what do you got? First off, you got Randy Moss out on the field. Then you look up at the stands, and you see a bunch of Big Tad's fat cousins up there wearing kabuki makeup and styrofoam spikes hot glued to their foreheads. What the hell kind of life is this? And then Al Davis comes down in a leather jumpsuit with the crazy chains on the glasses. Those are your choices? Front office, stands, the field? You're screwed.
Sounds like a delightful experience.
Yes.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
I could go on and on, but I wanted to make mention of the fact that I am obsessed, as you like to talk about, too. Entertainment Tonight, all these news
shows.
Programs.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, but the problem is that if you become obsessed with them, it sort of takes the place of watching CNN or the local news, so you sort of lose touch with what's going on in the world.
You know what it's like? It's like I love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, but after a while, after eating a handful of them for breakfast and lunch, you feel like you're missing out on sustenance. Sure, they don't taste as good as green beans, but it's not healthy. It's easy, but it's just not good for you. And I feel that way, too. Yeah, I watch all these entertainment news stories, and I miss out on the real stories that are going on out there. Thank goodness they've started to weave some of the real news into the entertainment shows. I was watching on Wednesday night. I was watching Entertainment Tonight, and then last night as well, and they started weaving in some world events.
Stories.
Yeah, I made a tape of it. I got my TiVo fired up. Let's give it a listen.
President Bush said yesterday that right after 9/11, Al-Qaeda began planning to use shoe bombers to hijack an airplane and fly it into the tallest building in Los Angeles. The plan was apparently hatched by real-life 9/11 mastermind Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. E.T.'s got you covered. Neil Entwistle, the British man charged with the murder of his American wife and baby, has agreed to be extradited to the United States, his lawyers said Friday. Entwistle's wife and their 9-month-old baby were found shot to death last month at their home in Massachusetts.
Wow.
Not a revenge abortion, as rumored. Bang, bang. The E.T. news machine rolls on. The cartoons published in a Danish newspaper continue to cause massive rioting around the Muslim world. In Malaysia's biggest protest against the caricatures, some 3,000 demonstrators chanted things like, "Destroy Denmark! Destroy Israel! Destroy George Bush! Destroy America!" E.T. takes it to the extreme. Abducted American journalist Jill Carroll appeared in a video broadcast on Kuwaiti television Thursday, urging the U.S. government to meet her kidnapper's demands because she's only got a very short time left. Hats off to her.
Wow.
E.T. has now got you up to speed.
Sarcasm.
You're welcome.
I was saying, with sandwich in between a story about Jennifer Aniston learning to love again and Angelina Jolie's revealing pictures from Vanity Fair.
Somehow it was more palatable that way.
I agree. I sort of felt good about the fact that the terrorists had taken some hostages.
Yeah, it was sort of pleasant.
Yeah, almost. It's really, yeah, it's all the box things come in. It's not what's in the box.
That's right.
It's the packaging.
That's interesting.
It felt good. All right. We will take ourselves a little break. Jeff Probst. The hunky Jeff Probst, the better looking in person, if that's possible, Jeff Probst, in studio. He's coming in. Also, Louis C.K., the great comedian Louis C.K., will be coming in a little bit. First, some serious survivor talk with Jeff Probst.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah. That's the number, 866-901-ADAM. Jeff Probst is here for my favorite show, Survivor. Good morning. Jeff knows this is more than just lip service. He knows I'm a huge fan. I have a Survivor dance. There's no other show I have a dance for.
You won't show it to us.
I woke up to this morning. My alarm went off, and I heard you talking about, Rachel talking about you doing the dance, Carolla.
My wife likes to sit on the sofa with my dog, who's thoroughly confused, and watch me do the Survivor dance each and every week, and then my wife critiques it, and then she says, "Oh, you did that move last week. Oh, that's from last year's Survivor. That's from Vanuatu. Come on, buddy. You got to freshen up the act." And, you know, I was thinking about that. My wife often critiques me, like when I took a IQ test and I got a 91 few years back.
Out of what?
Well,
was it like out of 100, or was it one of those ones that's out of like 300?
If that would lower your score if you had to ask that question.
Really?
Yeah.
It's a standardized test, right?
It just keeps going. Well, I don't know. Einstein was 180. You do the math. I got a 91. No, I mean, I got a 91 IQ. I have a 91 IQ, which...
No way do you have a 91 IQ.
I am telling you, if you look under the thing, you know, you do the thing where it's like 130 is genius, 130 and above is gifted, and then there's genius, and then there's average. And the 91, there's a picture of a guy wearing a pointed hat eating paste. There's a hand in a bucket marked
91,
paste.
When we do these survivor profiles and we do all these tests, one of them is an IQ test, and the 91 is at the bottom,
that's
and
what I'm
suddenly
saying.
You're back into the interesting character again.
That's,
because
that's the angle I was working. But here's what I said to my wife, who never stops making fun. Oh, listen, you're 91. How pathetic. Look at you, 91. She never misses
She's
an excuse.
She's married to you.
Yeah, that's the angle. You married an idiot. How smart are you? I have an excuse. I have a disability.
A rich idiot. Come on, let's just be clear about
Literally
that.
Literally a millionaire.
IQtest.com. You can go and take the IQ test if you have any courage and see what your score
have
is.
Have you
I
taken?
I did.
How'd you do?
I was 126, and I was so happy. I told everyone I knew because I just wanted to break 100. And then my buddy started taking it, and I was the lowest of...
all of my friends.
Well, it's an interesting point. I don't think there's any correlation between having a high IQ or intellect and being happy or fulfilled. As a matter of fact, I think it's the opposite.
Yeah.
My dog is in the low teens in the IQ department, leading a much better life than any of us could ever dream of, and happy. Not sitting around thinking about world events, not thinking about unrest in the Middle East, not worried about cancer, what's eating their body as they speak, you know. None of this. The higher intellect people are tormented.
We had a group of us one time in Jamaica, and we had this book of questions, and one of the questions was, would you rather live a life really successful in the arts and know all this stuff, but ultimately live a tortured and unfulfilled life, or would you rather be happy and dumb? And seven of us are like, oh, I want to live the full life, even though I'm tortured at the end. And my one buddy Lopez is like, are you nuts? If I'm happy and ignorant, I'm happy. I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see his point as I get on in years.
Yeah, me too.
Are you tortured?
No, but you know what I mean. It's that whole notion
yes,
of...
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Well, actually, Jeff, you actually, out of all the celebrities I've probably met over the years, seem less tortured, more comfortable in your own choker.
Yeah.
And generally, not many guys can get away with that.
Yep.
Not many guys can get away with
today.
The choker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he always dusts off the mammoth choker.
For you.
Yeah. Yes,
but
for me.
It's true. You are. You are a very peaceful kind of person. What are you tortured?
No, I'm not tortured. I'm actually getting more peaceful by the day.
Yeah,
that's true. But
well, you're also richer by the day.
Come on. I got a little more money than I had when I started, but you know, that's a big misconception. You sign, like when I started Survivor, I signed a 6-year deal.
Yeah.
Nobody knocks on your door and says, you're doing such a good job, we're going to triple your money.
Mm-hmm.
You signed a deal, props, do the deal. So,
yeah,
you know, the show does very well, but I was just a schmuck.
Plus, then after 6 years, you go, look, I want to renegotiate. I want to start getting paid. And they're like, are you kidding? We'll get Joe Rogan in here tomorrow. Come on.
So true. Anybody could do this show at this
show's
point.
Not
show's
about
working.
You. Yeah, I always like when they explain what the show's about. Listen, Loveline's about the callers. Whoever's in the room, if the callers wanted money, they say it's about the host. The survivor's about the people. It's about the whatever. It's not about you.
You always know your
facilitator.
You always know your contract's about to come up when they start saying, yeah, so we're hard to say what we're going to do. I know you're probably getting tired. We're not sure where we're going to go with the show. And you know,
brutal. The thanks. It's like, thanks, Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah, you feel wanted and needed.
And I think,
I think
Probst brings, first off, overlooked in the interview department. You do very good interviews. It is as if you're hovering over the campsite collecting all these questions, and you ask very poignant questions, but short and concise and hard-hitting. I will say that.
Well, when we write the script for Survivor, I always try to get one of the better writers to give me, you know. No, I got to say, CBS was very good to me, all jokes aside. I'm really happy to still be doing the show.
And what's...
Oh, yeah, you got to put that out there, too.
You got to put that out there.
How many seasons? What season are we in?
We're in 12.
Oh,
man.
12.
6 years, 12.
So it's two per year.
Two per year, yes.
And so I was watching last night a couple things. Every once in a while, this would be my plan if I ever get on the island or do it. I would threaten to quit every week, in which case everyone tries to talk you out of it, and then you don't get voted off that week.
It's not a bad idea.
Last night, what's his name? Screwball.
Shane.
This guy's one of these guys with the hipsters, with the tats, and he's...
Well, by the way, his title, under his job title, marketing executive.
He's an L.A. club promoter.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
We have that. We have that clip if you want to hear it.
Oh, we do? Yeah, let's hear Shane.
It's the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. Like, I wanted to quit. I wanted them all to write my name down, and I wanted to leave here because I couldn't get out of the mania of dehydration, not being able to eat. And on top of that, I smoked 3 packs of cigarettes a day and quit the day I got here. So
what
I'm in
choice
the
did he have?
I was
they don't have a Circle K down there?
It's like it's some kind of psychotic bad idea detox.
Yeah, this guy is a mess, and he's a sociopath as well. And he announces last night, look, get me out of here. Vote me out. And they fire back with, no, you're staying, and we'll vote someone who wants to stay desperately out.
Well, because they've made this agreement. They want his vote. You know, he's part of this
right
alliance.
And also, maybe they look at him as money in the bank. He's expendable.
Yep.
We'll cut him, but save him for later.
Mm. And, you know, in defense of Shane, he did quit cold turkey. 20 years, three packs a day. And
wow.
Day one, he was scratching his head going, what in the hell am I doing out here? Like you said, a Circle K. I think Shane kept thinking a box of Marlboros were going to magically show up at camp.
I would have keistered a block of Nicorette. That's how I would have gotten it into camp.
We'd have found it.
It looks like it's a good way.
Oh, you may have found it.
Yeah.
But that
we'll do that bend over search.
When you say we, you mean the royal we. You're not personally responsible for the
putting on the rubber gloves.
It means him and his penis.
I think that's a really...
Yes.
It's a really good way to quit if you really want to do that. We should send Tad to Survivor.
Oh, to quit smoking?
No. To...
Drop 80 pounds.
Lose weight. Yeah, we were talking earlier.
I'm looking out for you, buddy. I'm looking out for you. That's it.
Yeah. Let's just take him on and put him on the island and leave him there. And that'll be that.
The other question.
He is the island.
The other question I had was the immunity idol that is hidden on the exile island
right
this year. Now, they put one of the gals on the island, and she, smart, showed cunning. She said, I may have found this idol. But how could you hide it? Or if you did find it, you would keep it stashed on Exile Island? How would that work?
You got to have it on you, so you wouldn't want to hide it, keep it out on the island. But, you know, they have pants, and you don't know how big it is. It could be a small. You got a backpack you could put it in.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm a sucker. I'm convinced she has it.
You do?
Yeah.
Also, it was a smart idea because I was talking about it last year when you did the Find the Idol and Use It for Immunity. I was talking about it, and I'm sure you've heard this too, and maybe this is why you guys decided to do it this way this year. You shouldn't have to pull it out until after the vote. That's what you want. Everyone votes and votes you out, and then you whip the idol out and show them.
The Adam Carolla idea made it into our creative. And
really?
I said, hey, Carolla, just so you know, he's a fan, and he had this idea, and... We tossed it around, and Burnett finally said, that's what we're doing.
No, you're blowing smoke up the ace, man.
Well, I am playing a little bit of Kiss the Ass,
Thank you.
Yeah, but...
Kiss the Ass,
you're
Man.
You're blowing smoke
kiss
where the Nicorette
Ass Kiss
Rodeo.
Shoot, we'll let you get away with it.
Ass Kiss Rodeo.
You should do it.
All right, let's do that. Let's take a little break. Survivor, by the way, Thursday nights, 8 o'clock on CBS. Best show on television. And, Jeff, you're going to hang out, right?
Oh, yeah.
We
got
can
nowhere else to go.
Many questions for you, but also maybe you would indulge me and play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo.
Yeah,
yes?
All right, John, it's a great idea.
All right, hey, yeah, there you go. little precursor to the Ask Kiss Rodeo, just by kissing ass to the idea of Ask Kiss Rodeo. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Jeff Probst after this.
Listen to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, buddy. 866-901-ADAMS, the phone number. Jeff Probst from my favorite show, Survivor. I'll tell you, I don't understand the American Idol mania that's going on out there. For my money, this is the reality show to watch, Survivor. This is man pitted against man, pitted against nature.
And yet... Yeah, I heard you talking about, because I watched the Grammys the other night and wondered the same thing. How badly are they going to get crushed by Idol? You watch the Grammys. Who wins two Grammys?
American Idol. I know.
Who doesn't want to be known for American Idol anymore?
Oh, really?
Well, you know, she's trying to distance herself.
She's branching out. Yeah, it is amazing that it, and this is why I could never be an executive, because this would have gotten pitched to me and I would have been like, whoa. Listen, this is a network, people. We're not running some talent show in the back of a church in Des Moines, Iowa. Please, what's next?
You know, the thing is, I'm with you.
Ask Kiss Rodeo. Now, that's an idea, the TV show.
I don't like the people who are coming in and trying to get on TV. I'm so bored with that.
Yes, but it ruins it.
I do like the people that have a dream. And whether they're 19 or 26 or whatever the oldest age limit is, there's still that chance that maybe somebody's dream's going to come true. And everybody thinks they could be a singer. And I get it. And it's also, I'm realizing it's fun to watch with somebody. It's not near as much fun to watch Idol at home alone with a bag of Doritos.
That's just, that's embarrassing.
But the point is, it's the same show over and over again, year after year, whereas Survivor is fascinating, and they keep raising the stakes. Now you have Exile Island, and then the other thing is, once you cut one of the, whoever gets dismissed from the island, now you're doing this crazy thing this year.
Yeah.
What did you just say?
No. What do we got? We got a cue? Ah, here it is. Yeah.
Oops. Terrific.
Hey, all can I ask a question here?
Yes, what, go ahead.
What? How is it that you, Damashek, is that right, Damashek?
Yes, correct.
And you, Corolla, sound like you came out of the same womb.
Interesting.
You guys sound like brothers.
Because I'm doing an impression.
He was born naturally. I just crawled up his mom and my teens.
But does no one else bring that up? Because you guys...
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was described as more nasally, though. By a coworker, which made me, you know, I was on cloud nine after hearing that.
The funnier thing is when Adam does Dave, as opposed to the other way around, which way, you know, because, you know, when Adam does the Dave impression, like he says a Dave word.
Oh, you mean like...
Albow.
Tiramisu. That's a good dessert for you. We should work out your
Kookaroo
whole...
on Pico.
Your kookaroo, get the Chipotle, and finish with some tiramisu. And dab your lips with the terrible towel.
Now, but let's get back to this, though, because I just want to say, you know, again, what is the story? What producer came up with this idea of when somebody gets cut from the island?
Oh, here we go.
Melinda? Travis Broken.
Listen, I enjoy the
that
show.
That was worth
but
revisiting.
Not particularly.
I take the first time as a sign.
Yep. The heavens were helping you, brother.
Yeah. Well, they tried.
That was Brusca's idea.
All right. Now let's focus.
Do you believe
here.
In signs? By the way, do you believe in that? Like you get a little vibe, or you put your energy out, or
I'll tell you a very interesting thing. As we were talking earlier about spirituality and religion and all that, I don't believe in any of that stuff, but I do believe certain things don't want to happen. And certain other things do. There's an interesting thing in life. If you go back, you never really take a tally of the things that just happen very easily. You want to find something. You want to hook up with somebody. You want to do whatever. You want to get something accomplished. You pick up the phone and boom, it happens later that afternoon. It happens. Sometimes you call somebody and they're like, oh yeah, no. Oh no, I come out this afternoon. And you hang up the phone and you think, oh, that's how it should work. But you don't realize just how easy it is. And then there's other times. It could be getting a key duplicated. It could be just doing anything. But about your fifth hardware store, where they're explaining to you that we just sold the last one of those blank keys only minutes earlier, you realize maybe this wasn't. And then you go home and the key breaks off in the lock and you think, is there something going on here? Yeah. I have a story about that, which is I was back in the day. I grew up in the valley and never had air conditioning in an automobile. The Corollas, God bless them, no air conditioning in a house or in a car. And they grew up in the San Fernando Valley. It'd be 110 degrees during the summer. I got a beat-up Toyota at some point when I was in my late 20s and then started having moderate success over on K-Rock doing radio. And I said, I'm going to get the air fixed for this car, and I will have air conditioning in my car. A Corolla. I will be the first. They talk about the first guy to go to college for your family. We haven't had that yet as a Corolla, but air conditioning in an automobile, I will be the first Corolla. This will be great. So I decided to buy the pump because I'm sort of a rancher, receiver, dryer, do a bunch of stuff. I went down to Van Nuys, bought a used pump, put it in the Toyota, screwed the whole thing up, had to take the pump back. The clutch was bad on the thing. At 10 removals and back and forth, I finally realized this isn't happening. I am going to take it to a place that does nothing but air conditioning in Van Nuys. I'll drop it off, and I'll say, I don't care how much it costs. Call me when icy cold air is coming out of the vents. First time I left it there, I think Kimmel picked me up when I dropped it off. I mistakenly took the keys with me, and the car just sat unattended in the parking lot because they didn't have the keys. They tried to call me all day, but I wasn't home. And someone backed into it and took out the fender. So when I went to go pick the car up at 5 o'clock, I was like, is the air working? And they said, bad news and bad news. No, the air's not working. No, you did not leave the keys. And also someone backed into it while it was sitting here. We called you 10 times. You didn't pick up the phone. So then I dropped it off the following week. They tried a bunch of stuff. They had to order a bunch of parts. They did everything they could. It was costing me hundreds and thousands of dollars. They still never got it working. The car was rejecting it like a patient rejects a liver. Just not gonna take it. So I said to my dad at a certain, so now I'm at a certain point and I'm thinking to myself, where
are we in the story right now? Is this intermission or?
We are in what feels like intermission, but it's really the third act.
Okay, good.
How dare you barge into my studio. I love your show. I praise your show. I have a dance dedicated to your show and you come on and attack
Corolla,
me.
Listen, yes. I am trying to set a baseline for me to play Ask Kiss Rodeo. So I'm going backwards so I can go forwards.
I see. I understand. My apologies. We'll get to that in just one moment. I now realize the car does not want air, and it's not meant to be, and I'm not meant to be the first Corolla to have air. And I say to my dad as he's dropping me off at the place for the fifth time to try to get the thing, I said, Dad, I'm not a spiritual man, but I'll tell you something. I don't believe this car was meant to have air, and if I force it to have air, I think it's either going to be stolen or destroyed in the next few weeks because it clearly doesn't want it. Well, I paid a few thousand bucks. It went back and forth 10 times, and it finally did get air. I parked it out in front of my apartment. I was talking to Kimmel on a cell phone standing on the balcony about 12 midnight when a huge crash, so loud that Jimmy on the other phone said, "What was that noise?" I said, "That was my car being destroyed, a Ford F-250. Wow. Completely. The car was hit so hard that it had to be towed back to the curb. It couldn't be pushed back to the curb it was parked against. It careened out into the street, was completely totaled out by a drunk driver, and that's when I realized, yep, it wasn't supposed to have air. It didn't want it. It had its own energy. And I do believe certain things come easy and certain come hard, and if you force the hard ones, sometimes they'll just say, screw you. I'm going to get a guy named Kenny drunk, and he's going to run right into your car with his Ford F-250. And that's my spirituality.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
And a moving story, too.
And it was weird. I could hear...
the car crashing.
Yeah, I could hear the car crashing. Yeah. You were thinking about it so hard, I could really...
When you're a raconteur, like myself, and you paint a vivid picture using your tongue as the brush, and your ears as my canvas.
That.
Yes. Yeah. Too bad I rarely break open the brush set anymore. It's very sad. Very sad.
So wait, he tells stories while they're having sex?
I'm actually in the den cleaning my brushes while she's up. She's asleep. Let's take a break. Jeff Probst is here, and I promise a spirited round of Ask Kiss Rodeo after this.
Stewie Griffin. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Big Tad is taking an IQ test as we speak, by the way, so we'll have the report back on that as soon as he finishes that.
I think we should all have to do it. I think we should all do it at some point.
Well, I did do it. I got a 91.
I'm going to do mine
that's
later.
That's the high water mark of the group. Oh. You can beat a 91, you know. Hey,
what will
it.
We win?
Well, a radio
you should,
show.
I think if Tad beats you, I think that you should knock a pound or two off his anticipated weight loss for the week.
I'll do it, but I'll do it with a machete. All right, Jeff Probst is here from Survivor. Best show on TV. Thursday nights, 8 o'clock, CBS. Jeff is going to play a little Ask Kiss Rodeo with us.
Really looking forward to that.
Me too.
So fun.
Me too. Also, we got a question for Jeff. Jody?
Hi.
What's happening, baby doll?
How say you?
I say nay. I mean yay.
Yay.
Yay,
yay.
I say.
Yeah, I have a hard-hitting question for that, Mr. Probst. Would it be Julie that you need to eat those Cheetos with to watch American Idol?
Yeah, that would be Doritos. Yeah, that would be the ideal situation, watching Idol with Julie.
Are you still banging her?
Now, why you gotta go there?
Yeah.
I won't even answer that question.
Are you still dating her? I didn't know that you can say that.
Well, no, I think you can say it technically, but it's considered rude to ask if someone is still doing that to his girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Grow up.
Are you still bedding down with?
This woman sounds like someone who's called us before.
I've never called here before.
Maybe this is
you know what? I just started.
A lot of
listening.
Angry people call us.
No, I'm. Hey, welcome, Adam.
Hey, thank you.
Welcome. I'm from Vegas. Welcome.
Shocking that you're from Vegas.
No, I live in Mesquite, actually. Good try.
Even better. What do you? Oh, you. Hey, Jody, can I say this?
Sure.
Because I have a knack for this. You may not be forthright with it, but I think you're angry.
Well, sure. I got to get on an airplane here in a little bit.
Where's your dad?
My dad never molested me. I'm not a stripper.
Where is he? What'd he do to you? How'd he disappoint you?
He made me be a Catholic.
Mm. You angry? You angry at him?
Not at all, because I got over it.
Oh, okay. You got over it.
Being a Catholic, yeah.
All right. When's the last time you spoke to him?
Yesterday.
Aha! Do you love him dearly?
Yes, I do.
Okay. I just got the instinct that you were angry.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yes, Jeff is dating and still dating Julie from Vanuatu. Where is she from?
She's from Maine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was on Vanuatu Survivor.
Now, did you find yourself falling in love as it was going on? That's nice, right?
I love stories like that.
I don't know, looking back on it. We've talked about it. If we were, you know, I only know that I was happy she was still on the show. But honestly, the show's happening so fast that you're not thinking. I wasn't sitting there thinking, I think I'm falling in love with Julie. But afterwards,
yeah,
I wanted to see her. I wanted to know who she was.
How did it work? And is there some sort of ethical problem with it? I don't have one, but I mean, do the producers warn you against this kind of stuff? Do they frown on it at all?
It didn't come up in the show. It really wasn't a thing on the show. I mean, you might have sensed that there was some chemistry between us, you know, but.
I didn't, actually.
No, I mean, if you were out there, you might have sensed it. But
palpable.
It was after the show, and we kept it secret, you know, while the show was still on the air.
I did sense a little something between you and Johnny Fairplay, but that's about as far as it went.
That's a whole different thing, yeah.
I miss that guy.
All right, do?
Yes! Johnny Fairplay actually said that his grandmother died just to get sympathy from everyone, and she never actually passed away. They had sort of family day where the families get to come on and be reunited, and there's tears, and it's been 3 weeks, and all that kind of stuff. Johnny Fairplay said his grandmother was due to come out, except for she passed away. And, of course, all sympathies went out to him.
It was a good move.
Diabolical.
Yeah, it was. It was nice. One of the best moments ever.
And you had no idea that actually happened. I mean,
no,
that he was putting everyone on.
I was sitting over there thinking, what an interesting situation. This guy who was an absolute schmuck on the show just had the worst possible thing happen. Somebody he loves died. And now I'm kind of pulling for him. I feel for him. And the thing ends, and we pick up the phone, and I get on the phone to talk to his grandma, you know, and she's, I mean, to give our condolences, and grandma answers and says, "Oh, that Johnny."
Wow.
Like, oh.
Yeah, talk about bad karma. Yeah. All right, I'm like I said, a huge fan, but it is exciting, the prospect of the great Jeff Probst playing Ass Kiss Rodeo with my ass. This is exciting.
Ace Kiss Rodeo.
You know how to play it, do you not?
I mean, I get the general idea, yeah.
You go along.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Okay. Has it started?
No.
Okay.
Although I would always like it to be in effect.
Okay.
It hasn't officially started. Let's get it started now.
It's Ass Kiss Rodeo.
Woo!
Love your hat, Adam, by the way. It's a great hat.
Preemptive strike.
Yes, very good.
The gate is open.
Yes. I tell you, I love that Survivor. I love it because I feel like I would win, hands down.
You know, it's funny because when we have creative meetings and casting, and I'm not just saying this, your name comes up so many times as a guy we'd love to have on the show because you'd be a likable winner, too.
Yeah. Cunning and stamina. And, of course, matinee idol good looks. How say you, props?
Yeah, I say, I'm for your age, you are one of the best-looking guys on radio.
Hold on, qualified.
Ooh.
Qualified. Double qualification.
The radio.
I'm up against John and Jeff and Bubba the Love Sponge.
Look
Rachel
at the back
just
of his
pushed
hand.
Her chair away from me.
The back of his hand is bloodied with your...
I hate ass kissing. I can't do it.
No kidding. It hates you.
No matter the age, he's a handsome devil, you know, for a man his age.
That was a double qualifier, radio and your age.
Oh, it's sneaky. Mm. Wow.
Were you good, Rachel, right off the bat?
I was terrible, in fact. I was a horrendous failure.
But she's learned.
See, I want to learn.
You know, to be honest, Jeff, you don't.
Really?
You really don't.
All right.
I've got other things to work on.
Kona.
Kona. They have the coffee there.
Oh, this is Rachel.
Do you like coffee?
Yeah.
You have the...
I don't like coffee. I like tea.
Really? I love tea. My family's from England, so I drink tea all the time.
I'm really more of a Postum man.
I don't... Yeah.
She didn't know what Postum was. And that's
I don't either.
But that's the point.
You don't, right.
You don't
that's
have
how you play
to.
The
this
game.
This is improv. Yes, and.
Yes, and. Not only that,
thank
but
you.
The great Jeff Probst knows. Yeah. And started off, I got to say, out of the gate. You know, that's the problem with Ask Us Rodeo. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. But you got out of the gate, man. You got out of the blocks. I mean,
you know
you
what
did
happened?
A sub 10 hundred.
Yeah. I lost my focus.
And you know what? That's what happens with this game is you could do it all you want before the pressure of the actual game.
That's right.
I say we give him another chance.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thanks,
all right.
All right.
You ready to get back on that fucking
okay.
Bronx?
No distractions. I'm ready.
I feel... I feel like I need to lose weight. I feel heavy.
You?
Bloated.
Wow. You look lean as a machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. There ain't no Jerome Bettis about you, man.
I am quite happy. Sorry, Sheck. It is my ass. He's kissing them. I am quite happy with my body. I feel I look good in the nude.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures, and I couldn't agree more, and I'm straight.
You look good in a choker, but I would argue I look better.
Well, it gives me something to aspire to, and there's nothing wrong with that. I don't have to be the best.
Yeah, if I was in a tribe and I was on that island, it wouldn't be any falaflu or any of that crap. I would call my tribe Turbo or Nitro. Yeah?
I wish people had the guts to do that. Nobody. Everybody goes with the frilly thing. And
yeah. Yeah, this means pride in Swahili. Forget that. I go with an engine additive.
Because there's power in that, and it's who you are. That's what I like. You embrace who you are.
I love sushi.
Sushi is maybe the best meal out there, unless there's something I haven't tried.
I hate sushi.
You know, and then there are times when sushi goes through you and you think, why'd I just eat it? But you go back and eat it
I've
again.
Heard enough. He's the new celebrity. Where's the new celebrity belt?
That was impressive.
Wow.
You
see?
Yeah, look
at what an elevation of game. And that's a message to you kids out there. You know, you try out for the team, maybe you get cut, but you come back.
And you know, it's a message in life.
That's
Adam,
right. That's right.
And Rachel and Damashek.
Okay, we stopped playing the game.
Yes. No, it's a message in life. Just because you fail at something once doesn't mean you can't come back and redeem and be better.
What happened there was Probst got knocked off the bull. It even may have gored him while he was on the ground, but he got up.
Yep. Oh, you didn't come away unscathed either out of that match.
He dusted himself off. He did not lick his wounds. He didn't feel sorry for himself. He doesn't ask.
I don't quit.
He doesn't ask for forgiveness. He got back on the buck, and he made it the full 8 seconds, and that's why he wears his celebrity belt now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Adam, no matter what
proud
you
of
say,
you.
I agree. Everything you do is genius.
Yeah! You are a survivor, Jeff Probst.
Big Tad. You have a little update on your IQ?
Yeah, I took the IQ test that Jeff was talking about, and I got a score of 110.
110 to wow. my 91.
Not bad.
Wow.
19 smarter than Corolla.
Wow.
Hold 19 what's?
Yeah. And this ain't golf either. You want to go up. And we had the breakdown. I don't know what I did with it. I think it's underneath here. Yes. Let's see. 110. You just made the cut, by the way, Big Tad. 110 to 119. High average.
What's 126?
126. Host his own? No. Superior.
Superior.
Superior. That is right.
Did you catch that?
Pretty much in the middle, and it is very close to very superior, which I would argue is not a great description for an IQ test, ironically. Very super, ultra, mega, superior-er.
The bestest brain there is.
Yeah, that's what there should be. There should be superior and then superior-er. Me at 91 just made the cut for average. Because it ends at 90, and then it gets low average, and then borderline, and then there's a picture of a donkey after under 70.
Well, Adam, right. Adam, the first time I took this test a few years back, I got 93, so so I still beat you.
Still beating the ace, man.
Sorry, man.
All right. Well, you sicken me. Let's take ourselves a break. I want to thank Jeff Probst for coming in. Survivor, everybody. Thursday nights. I watch it every single Thursday. I do a dance. Louis C.K. Comedian Louis C.K. is going to be in studio in a second. We'll talk to him after this.
Listen to Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-941-ADAM.
That's right. Exit Jeff Probst. Enter Louis C.K.
Is that your dating lineup?
Louis, yes. That's it. With a brief refractory period in the middle. Louis is the comedian's comedian. His name is thrown around in the hipster circles as being the actual funny one. And believe me, here's the thing. Comedians, they're cattier than high school cheerleaders.
Yeah.
Oh, can you believe what Tammy was wearing? Or she gained weight. That's how they are with guys. Oh, not funny.
Awful people.
We all sit around and pass judgment.
Yep.
And then as soon as one of us leaves the room, we then pass judgment on the person that leaves the room. And whoever leaves is not funny. And that's how it works. But Louis C.K. is one of these ones. He's the Radiohead of stand-up comics. Who you listen to, Radiohead? Oh, okay, cool. You're cool.
Does that get you more chicks?
You know,
like, no,
other comedians think I'm funny?
No, never. No, I don't get chicks anyway. I'm married, so I don't have sex at all with anyone. But before I was married, I never got laid being a comic. Nobody has sex.
The biggest myth perpetrated on man is that women love a great sense of humor.
Well, they like to laugh at it, but they don't like to have to sleep with it.
Yeah, right. They love a great sense of humor on a good-looking guy.
Right. Yeah. And also, if you're hot...
Yeah, that's boilerplate is he's got to be good-looking.
Right.
Funny's nice, too.
Also, you realize if you're hot, you're 19, you're from Reseda, and you're currently attending a junior college, you really even know what funny is?
No.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I find that most hot chicks, with the exception of Rachel Perry, are sort of literalist. Mm-hmm. You know? You can... You can make a joke about flying to Tokyo to eat lunch and then killing the premiere and flying back, and they'll go, wow, that was a hectic day.
That's funny to me, though. That's your rundown. That's a hot chick is a 19-year-old from Reseda in junior college.
In my world.
Really?
Well, here's the whole thing. Here's the whole thing, Louis.
Yeah.
You know how your favorite sort of chick is whoever was in Playboy when you were 15 and 16?
Okay, yeah.
Those are your primes?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Not for me so much, but I understand.
Really? Are you moving along? I can't move along.
No, I have a huge amount of perversions and stuff.
Oh, you spread it out.
Yeah.
I don't see, my whole thing is I sort of have this feeling like people have with music oftentimes. They remember the song that they liked in high school. They remember the way the woman looked in the Playboy when they were in high school. And they'll forever sort of harken back to a better time. For me, it's the 19-year-old from Reseda. I'm from North Hollywood, you know, we're neighboring
counties. I know what you mean. I think in some ways you go back to it, too. Like the first thing that gave me an erection.
Yes.
I don't remember what radio we were here. Okay. That one.
Either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was some girl in my junior high school gym class who stretched, and I saw a little of her belly and over her gym shorts, and that was it. That's all I cared about was that image for like 3 years.
Yeah, sad.
And then I moved on, and I became calloused sexually, and I needed to see more crazy stuff and more spread out, very gigantically graphic.
Yeah,
internet porn
photography
addiction.
And then internet porn. And then after a while, you become, that all just wears down. You become numb to it. And when you get older, you're back to just the only, you just, that, the girl in the high school shorts.
I do like to throw myself a curveball every once in a while with the, you know, Vegas ad in the sports section or something.
Sure.
Yeah, just to show I can do it. Yeah. But it is funny, though, sometimes when you start off with that goal in mind. Listen, I'm not going to get on the internet and punch up one of these German sites and go into all kinds of weird stuff that's going to send me straight to hell.
Yeah.
I'm just going to crack open this, Frederick's a Hollywood leaflet I got in the mail. About 10 minutes into that, okay, I'm getting on the computer.
Yeah.
Let's go.
No, it's hard, too, because I work with a computer. I write, and
it's done.
The instrument I write with is a cornucopia onto any sexual possible vision or...
Right.
It's like if your pencil could give you a hummer.
It's,
you know,
yeah, it's like if you were, it's like you're holding a donut and someone says, you want that to magically become a vagina?
Yeah.
And you go,
nah.
You say nah for 20 minutes and it's like, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And then you eat it anyway.
I don't particularly need a donut to be a vagina to have sex with it, because donuts are pretty good.
Yeah.
Donuts are all right to have sex with anyway.
Totally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Mm-hmm. What? Louis puts a little of his own frosting on it.
It's all plus. There's no sharp edges on it. It's not as good as a vagina, but it is still a thing. It's still something to...
I find the sprinkles can chafe. That's what I keep. True. And by the way, can we do enough with the jimmies?
You got a brand you prefer?
Enough with the sprinkles?
You like that nice warm Krispy Kreme?
I don't like Krispy Kreme. Oh, you mean for sex or eating? Which one?
For sex.
Oh, sorry.
If you're going to have sex with a donut.
I guess I like coconut donuts because it's kind of like the hairy sort of feeling.
Let's keep pushing forward here.
Yeah. Sorry.
Louis is going to be at the Hollywood Improv tonight and tomorrow night. And then also he's got himself a HBO sitcom, right?
That's
coming
right.
out? Lucky Louis?
Lucky Louis.
In June?
It's coming out in June, yeah. On HBO.
They
Sundays.
Now, is it... And on one hand, it must be nice because you don't have to worry so much about language and content and stuff like that. On the other hand, the bar set pretty high over there. Is it intimidating?
A little bit, because the shows that are on there are like fine art almost.
Right.
Like The Sopranos is like a novel. It's like the greatest thing ever.
And right.
We're just a sitcom. We're just being funny. We're just being silly.
Yeah. How many do you do in the first season?
We did 13 so far. So those will hit the air in June, and then they told us to write 8 more scripts. We got an order to write 8 more.
Oh, that's good.
We'll find out in June whether we're.
So how does it go? What is it about?
It's just a sitcom about a guy. I play a guy who works in a muffler shop, so not even really a mechanic.
Right.
If you're a mechanic and you have real tools and you went to the Ford factory and learned how to write, you know, to, fix Fords, but I just fix mufflers.
Guys who work in muffler shops are sort of bikers who are strung out on meth.
Yeah,
I was thinking about this the other day. All welders have huge biker beards, and it seems like the worst combination. Mm-hmm. Sparks flying all the time. You have a crazy Santa Claus ZZ Top beard. It's going to go up like Dan Haggerty at a drunken birthday party any second now.
Exactly.
It's just a weird combo.
It is.
The Hasidic Jews, too. Mm-hmm. Two folks who have huge beards, biker welders and Hasidic Jews, and they do nothing but kindle the Sabbath candles or use the acetylene torch to cut the old exhaust pipe off. Either way, sparks everywhere.
Fire and beards. Stupid.
Bad combo.
I think so.
Yeah.
So you were. So that's what the show's about.
Oh, really? Well, maybe I wrote an episode and didn't know it. So you work at a muffler shop.
I work at a muffler shop, and my wife is a nurse, and so she's got the benefits and the real full-time job, so I only work part-time and take care of my daughter. And it's just a couple that doesn't have really a lot of money, and they have one kid, and we just fight a lot, and I try to have sex with her when I can, and she kind of hates me.
Just a slice of life.
Yeah, it's like kind of like the Honeymooners. Actually, the set we built looks like a little like the Honeymooners set. We mostly takes place in the kitchen. There's no big sitcom living room. There's no couch in the show, and it's just more dialogue driven.
And you
can curse, so it's real actual fighting in
you,
a marriage.
You basically, I know, because who the hell gets into an actual fight without pulling out the C word every once in a while?
Yeah, exactly. We actually have an episode where I call her that.
Ooh,
and
nice.
She doesn't talk to me for the rest of the episode.
I have. I keep my C word behind a piece of glass, and it's in the entry hall, and I go for it in an emergency. I bust it. Yeah. I take a towel, I wrap it around my hand, and I punch out the glass. Mm-hmm. When my wife sees me going for the C word, she knows it's on.
Yeah.
You chicks, by the way, you need a word.
Yeah, they don't have enough.
They got nothing.
They have
nothing. And here's the, you know,
white men are foolproof because we got the N-word for black people and the C-word for the women and for Jews. We just call them Jews for some reason.
Good enough. It's effective enough.
But we have nothing.
Yeah.
Cracker.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm a cracker. It's cute. I like being a cracker.
No, it's comical. Yeah. It reminds me. Yeah. Is lunch coming up? Who mentioned cracker? I'm hungry. Yeah. Someone get some cheese. Yeah. We have nothing. You guys should really, and here's the whole thing. We're on the same page. You guys made a mistake by unifying and saying we'll not be able to use the C word, or it's very offensive to use the N word. We're not that dumb.
Right.
We will never cop to it. There may be words that we don't like. We're not going to tell you.
Yeah.
We just laugh it off. It's part of the big meeting white guys have every year. We're going to be having it down at the Sportsman's Lodge in Studio City this year. By the big white guys meeting.
I was talking to a black friend of mine who I like to get mad by explaining to him how great it is to be white. It's just so great.
It is awesome. You guys
do whatever you want.
You black guys should try it sometime.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's awful that there's racism in the country, but it's mostly a problem for black people. For me, it's zero problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually affect my life. It makes me sad, but only in when I reflect about it, thinking about it. But I don't.
Yeah.
Nobody bothers me. I'm white. The whole country's set up for me.
And
it's
plus,
great.
You're ultra white.
I'm very
you're
white.
Opaque.
I'm
yeah,
very
you
white.
Have red hair.
Yeah. I don't even, when I go to the airport, I don't even have to walk through the metal detector.
Oh, that white?
I'm that white. Wow. Like, go around. You're fine. But I actually was making my black friend very angry by telling him that we get to opt in or out every year, too. That we get new incentive packages to stay white.
Oh.
like, if you were going to Iraq, we got a lot of good stuff going on. Yeah, all right,
stay white?
I'll stay white.
I'm going to stay white for this next break. Louis C.K. is going to hang with us. And I want to know what it's like because you got started with Chris Rock on his show. I always hear he's a great guy, but I've never actually sat down with him. So a little of that. Also, some calls we have for you, Louis.
Okay.
And all that after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Yeah, you should do that. Louis C.K. is here.
Sorry.
The wonderful comedian Louis
C.K. Funny guy.
Lucky Louis coming to HBO starting Sundays in June. Also going to be at the Improv here in Hollywood. The real Improv tonight and tomorrow night as well. So you started as a writer, producer on Chris Rock?
Well, I was a comedian since I was about 17, but my first TV job was writing for Conan. And then I wrote for Chris Rock a little after that.
I resent people who knew what they wanted to do early in life. Yeah. I hate that guy. I always knew I wanted to be a veterinarian.
You know, it's not that I knew what I wanted to do. I just, it was the other way. I had
you
knew
what you didn't want to do.
I had no other thing I could do. I mean, I just, you know. I actually fixed cars for a while. Yeah, and I tried other stuff. And I flunked out of school. I didn't have a good.
All right. Okay, so as long as you were miserable and bad at other stuff.
No, I defaulted to stand-up.
Okay, then we're cool.
Yeah.
We're cool. So
I wasn't funny for the first 10 years I did stand-up.
Oh, now even better.
Yeah. I bombed all the time. I did.
Oh, good.
Funny. Yeah.
Wow. I love failure.
Doing it.
The only thing I love more than failures are guys who beat themselves up more than they actually should about their failures.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that about comics because comics have so much angst and self-loathing that when you sit around and talk to them, they're like, oh, I suck. I'm horrible. I don't even know why I'm alive. Mm-hmm. I'll be doing a 2-hour set over in Irvine tonight where I stand on stage in front of 300 people and tell them about what I think for 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, well, which one are you?
Yeah.
You should be one or the other, right?
Failure is a great part of comedy. It's part of why I love it. Because going in front of a crowd and doing jokes and killing for an hour, there's satisfaction in that. But there's no great experience in that. Like going on a show. I did a show here in Hollywood. At the Improv, they have a show called Mo Betta Mondays, which is a black comedy show.
Do you explain your concepts on the black culture and community?
Well, no. But I did a show on Sundays at the Laugh Factory. They have Chocolate Sundays, and that's all black. And I killed. They loved me there. And so I figured, hey, I'll do the other one, too, because all black people or the same.
Sure.
Different kind of prejudice.
Well,
I didn't realize I was having.
Once you've pulled five of them, you know,
yeah, you
much.
Figure, hey, if I'm funny to these black guys, the ones down on the other, they'll like me, too.
They're like penguins. How many do you really need to study?
Right. That's what I was thinking. But then Mo Betta Mondays is a whole other culture because they got the metal detector they bring in, and it's, you know.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
It's the Apollo.
So they hated me. They hated me so much.
Good.
It wasn't even that they didn't like my jokes. It was I would do a joke and it would end and there would be silence. And then when I moved on to the next joke, they'd murmur like, that was the whole joke. That was it. Like they wouldn't know until I started number two that number one was over. That's how disconnected I was from them. Anyway, I went down real hard. I did like 5 minutes and they booed me off the stage.
Mm.
And I sat in my car afterwards just bathed in sweat, like just trying to breathe normally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That was awful. And I'll never forget that moment. Oh. I've had thousands of
when
shows where
happen?
I've killed. I don't remember them.
Right.
And I'll never forget sitting in my car after Mo Betta Mondays just going, oh, my God.
Good.
That was brutal. They hate.
Yeah. Well,
and that's great. I love that.
That's how it works. It's like this. The ratio, that's why you should never leave your house. It's, you know, I tell that to Damashek. He punches his name into the computer. Mm-hmm. There's 10 people that say they love his sports, and then one of them that says he sucks, and he focuses on that one person.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. It's actually two or three people that say they like the sports, but the point
is. No one has yet to write and say they love
the sports. Maybe no one likes
the
sports, but the point is he still focuses on the negative.
His mom's typing in his aliases saying that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Don't bother. It'll kill you. All right, let's... So Chris Rock. Yes, yeah. How did that happen?
Well, we were doing stand-up at the same time in New York and came up relatively around the same time in New York. And when he got his own show, he called me and asked me to work on it. I'd made some films and stuff and written for Conan, and I did well there. So he called me and asked me to work for him. I just started working with him.
I always heard that was a great environment.
It was awesome.
That he was great and that it was easy and that it wasn't all... people don't realize, ironically, that comedians can be some of the most uptight a-holes on the planet.
The worst kind of person on Earth, I think, is a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, it even transcends just being an a-hole. It's the worst human being.
Oh.
I mean, picture working for Jerry Lewis or something.
Yeah, no.
I mean, just picture working for, you know, Johnny Carson and Jerry Lewis and all these a-holes. Just imagine that. You know what I mean?
Awful.
And so, ironically, a place that you'd think would be, like, you think it'd be like Willy Wonka's factory.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's going to be comedy, big troughs of comedy to bathe in. Turns out, vitriolic, horrible, hate-filled, whatever.
Yeah.
But Chris Rock, not that way.
No, Chris was great because he used to say, hey, I've got this opportunity, let's all take advantage of it. Like, he wasn't like, you work for me.
Right.
He was like, we're all funny, let's all do our comedy on, and I just happen to be the one who goes and sells it.
That's how I was at the man show, if you replace that with, hey, schmuck, get me some coffee.
Right. Yeah.
Mark Schnell.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was the exact same sentiment.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Let's play a little hypothetical question with Louis C.K. These are questions that there's no right or wrong answer.
Sure.
This is a hypothetical car ride across the country.
Mm-hmm.
One of two guys or gals sitting in the passenger seat while you drive. You tell us, who would you rather travel with?
Okay.
All right.
Where am I going?
We're going to New York.
From here?
Well, not from the studio, but from the Los Angeles area.
Okay.
I don't know.
3,000
exactly
miles.
3,000 miles, anyway, you slice it. Yeah. All right. This guy, the motivational speaker.
Mm-hmm.
The guy travels from college to college and town to town, really trying to help people out with his speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Or the person who claims they don't watch TV.
Oh, I guess I would take the motivational speaker.
I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Is that wrong? Yeah. You said there were no right or wrong.
Well, usually there isn't, but that one was so egregious that we had to, had to be. But now, the motivational speaker is going to talk your ear off.
Yeah, and that's good.
And you're going to realize that you're actually better at his job than he is somewhere around Barstow.
Mm-hmm. I've driven across the country a bunch of times, and here's where I've learned to be with guys like that. When you're working in a comedy club and you get picked up at the airport by the young person that works there.
Yes.
And you just got off a plane and you just want to go to the hotel room and masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
And they want you to talk about yourself and ask.
Yeah.
So I just go, so where are you from?
Right.
And then
they
run their stupid mouth.
Yeah.
And I shut down.
What is it about going to hotel rooms that doubles your masturbation productivity?
It's instantly.
I think about that when I spread out on the comforter.
Yeah.
I think, look, if I'm doing double time here, imagine what the last sap was doing.
No, when the bellman puts his
hand. Uses an ashtray.
No.
Okay.
I use his hand.
Why are you putting your hand out? Anyway, when I see that hamburger, when I see the hamburger helper.
I guess the plasma screen.
We keep getting. All right. I don't even know what.
That's all the sex I know anymore. I'm a married man. My hand is it. That's it. That's all there is. Not even her hand anymore.
Oh, really? Now, off to your own. All right, let's keep pushing forward here. Let's see.
I'm making you uncomfortable.
All right,
sorry.
Yes, I am very uncomfortable with talk of masturbation.
Yeah.
Here's the guy. Guy at the gym who takes the sweatshirt and cuts the elastic out of the collar and then cuts the sleeve off so it drapes over him like a poncho because he has such an amazing physique.
Yeah.
That guy, and I'm going to add to this the tiger stripe workout pants.
Sure. Sure.
That guy, or the straight talking financial advisor who does the weekend shows on the radio station, that super blowhardy guy.
Yeah, I guess I would take the financial guy.
I'm sorry. That guy, all the way to New York, he's going to go, I could tell you to buy Fannie Mae's or T-Bonds might be lying to you. That guy who tells you what he could do and then explains he would, but he'd be lying.
He'd be lying, yeah.
You're not diversified?
I don't want to be with that guy.
You're not diversified? Right. Do you care about your family? Do you have a family? Yeah. Do you care about them? And you're not diversified? That guy.
That guy, no. I guess you're right.
Yeah, you want the guy with the cutoff sweatshirt.
I guess so. He might smell, though. Those guys stink.
That's true. That's true. You could crack a window, though. He wouldn't do a lot of talking.
No.
And he'd always be ready to pull over and get something to eat.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
You know when you travel and you want to eat and the guy doesn't want to pull over?
Yeah.
Oh, just keep driving. Let's keep pushing through.
Come on. I drive with my dog. I take my dog across the country every year.
That's so
my wife doesn't want the dog in the airplane because she thinks the dog would get sick in the plane.
That brings us.
I drive my dog across the country to avoid putting my dog in a plane. Do you know why, though? Can I just tell you why?
Paw whipped, by the way, they call that. But go ahead.
Well, no, here's the reason is because I'd rather do the 3,000 miles with the dog than have the conversation with my wife.
Yeah.
Way easier.
The 5 hours on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Than talking to her and going, it's a dog.
Yeah, well, that brings...
Why don't we kill it and then go back to New York and get one while we're there? We got a new one there.
That brings us to our next important question, timely question, involving both. The guy who says his wife is his best friend.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That guy. That a-hole?
Sure.
Says it in front of your wife so she can get mad at you?
Sure, yeah.
Because she hasn't cracked your top 20?
Uh-huh.
There's people you haven't met that you include as better friends?
Right.
Hypothetical friends? Yeah. Or this, the chick who says her dog thinks it's a person.
Oh. Which one am I? Okay, yeah. I know I'm not going to.
Not with that attitude, you're not.
No, I'll take the dog as a person.
I'm sorry. 0-3 or 0-4, this is abysmal. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. Let's let Louis C.K. really take a good long look in the mirror.
Sure.
Really exciting.
I have a website, by the way, louisck.com. I'm just throwing that out there.
No, you should. Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have got it out there.
No, it's all right. I'm just going to say it. Doesn't matter.
Going to be at the Improv tonight and tomorrow night as well. Also, Lucky Louie. Let's take another break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back. We'll do this. We'll pick up a few questions and many more things to do after this.
Hi, this is Dave Coulier. Call Adam Carolla now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
And tell him Dave's package sent you.
Louis C.K. in studio. Lucky Louis starting in June. Sundays, HBO, also going to be at the Hollywood, the mother of all improvs, the Hollywood Improv tonight, tomorrow night, and go to www.louisck.com. For info, that was Dave Coulier. Dave Coulier's package chiming in. We were talking during the break about that with Louis. And I was saying to him, it's amazing because I'm watching these celebrity ice skating shows. Everyone's getting stitches. They're getting their head banged around. Yeah. And I've said it before. They should have to put helmets on.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a helmet to ride a skateboard or ride a bicycle or do a little BMX action, you should have it when you're the chick and the guy's hoisting. The guy's 6 foot tall. He's hoisting you over your head. Yeah. He's got his hands in your crotch like Louis C.K. tipping a bellman. That's only he can do. And he's spinning you around and you're wearing skates. You're another 6 inches off the ice and you fall. There's nothing worse than ice when you land, because first you get the concussion and then you die of hypothermia because you're lying there in a block of ice.
Right. And nobody will help you either.
And I was thinking, too, like, I started thinking about, now, why no helmets? And we have all sorts of safety requirements for everything, but no helmets for these people. And I realized, because what they're on used to be water.
Yeah.
It's now harder than concrete. But if they were on concrete, let's just go ahead and separate the ice from ice skating. Say they're doing the exact same thing. It's just out in the parking lot. Someone would say, please put some elbow pads on, put a helmet on. You'd be dressed up like you were a skateboarder in a Kool-Aid commercial.
Mm-hmm.
They always have to wear a lot of pads.
Yeah, no, I don't care, though, because...
I don't either.
I mean, it's not my head up there spinning around.
No, but God forbid, one day your daughter could be up there.
Oh, yeah, still, I don't really care.
Oh, it's because it's not you. I like that. I like someone has the balls to admit that.
Yeah, look, it's, you know...
Yeah.
I feel bad for her when she gets hurt, but I don't feel pain.
Yeah.
It's not me getting hurt.
That's right.
She's crying, and that's a little bit annoying. But, I didn't get hurt. My daughter did.
Right. You know. Right. Yeah, no, it's not you.
No. she gets hit by a truck, that's a drag for her much more than it is for me.
Yeah, literally, yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And I wish more parents had the guts that Louis C.K. has.
What really annoys me is the holiness of kids in people's eyes. Like, if I say that to a friend of mine, like, because my daughter can be a real...
Yeah, she used to see where.
Jerk. She could be a real douchebag sometimes.
Right.
And she's 4 years old. She's very selfish.
Sure. I know, it's all about me.
Yeah. But so she, when she gets, you know, sometimes I get really annoyed and I'll say to my friend, I hope she gets hit by a car today. Mm-hmm. And he'll go, you can't say that. Mm-hmm. Don't. Right. It doesn't, God's not going to do it because I told him, I don't have any power.
Well, not that you know, but that's the scary part.
No, but that's what people, I hate people who say you can't, like I had a friend who IM'd me from his airplane, you know, people that when the door hasn't closed yet, so they use their phones to IM. Any IMs, I'm on an airplane and the door hasn't closed yet. That's what he had to tell me.
Right.
So I wrote back, I hope your plane crashes. And he calls me in a panic and says, take it back. You have to take it back. Why? I'm not on the plane. I can say whatever I want. And he says, because what if it happens now? How are you going to feel? And I'm like, are you kidding? That'll be amazing.
Yeah.
To learn that I have that power. That'll be a pivotal day in my life. I said, I hope your plane crashes, and it crashed.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, awesome. Though, I would sort of play that one close to the vest.
Yeah.
If I did announce that, no one's ever going to rat you out. This guy's deep in the Pacific Ocean, never to be recovered again, just a wreath thrown where they think he may have hit the water. I wouldn't go spouting off, but hey!
I told him.
Nostradamus over here. How about some credit where credit is due? Yeah. I'm not bragging. I'm not saying I actually crashed a plane, but let's face it. I knew about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to play we're going to do some news. We're going to do some sports. Uh-huh. Couple more hypotheticals to go.
Okay.
Okay. I know it's a good time for you.
Oh.
All right. These are the guys you'd like to drive cross country with. Who do you do it with? Yeah. The guy. Now, here's this guy. This is the guy who's embraced the wisdom of the Orient. He has a little coupeton. It's like half a nunchuck.
Right.
It's hanging from his keychain.
Yeah.
He thinks it's a weapon. It's a Q-tip, essentially.
Right.
But he has it hanging from his keychain, and he wears the slip-on karate shoes all the time.
Sure.
That guy or the woman, oftentimes when your mom's friends who cradles the coffee mug with both hands and drinks from it like it's sacred.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Slurpee yeah. drinking.
Two-handed, like she's some sort of priestess.
She's no good without her coffee.
Yeah, announces she's no good without the coffee.
These people are getting so specific.
Yeah. Who is it?
It's weird because you're creating these people that are trapped in moments. Like, this woman always has this, doesn't even bathe.
Please answer the question, Louis.
Perpetually slurpy drinking coffee. I don't care who I'm driving with as long as I doesn't have to play this game with them. That's what I care. As long as we come up with something else to do while we're driving.
We need an answer.
All right, the woman, the slurpy woman. I want to drive.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus!
I'm sorry, because the guy could protect you if you got into a scrap. He
That's
could bust
true.
A cubaton yeah. out, throw a crescent kick. All right, last one. This is a rule. This is no win.
Mm-hmm.
The guy from Creed or Lenny Kravitz?
Oh, my God.
That's tough. The super blowhardy guy who
Lenny
sings
Kravitz
the ultra-important
has,
rock.
Has weed, so I would go with
that. Oh, okay.
Lenny.
You know what? There you go. You know what? I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I thought you'd get a long-winded jag about spirituality.
No, not from him.
But instead, you guys just partake of the spleef. Mm-hmm. Smart. Good call.
Exactly.
There you go. Thank you. We end on a high note. One for 14.
Okay.
Fantabulous. Now, it is time for Rachel Perry in the news.
Former disaster chief Michael Brown says Department of Homeland Security officials were aware that the New Orleans levees were breached the first day of Hurricane Katrina, in contradiction to prior statements by officials that they didn't know until the next day.
Sure, they knew they were breached. They blew them up. Navy SEALs sent the SEALs down to blow them up.
That's right.
That's really? What
Mr.
That's
Lee
a
says.
New,
yeah,
that's what happened.
No, it's Spike Lee said that.
That's
yeah.
in
demolition teams. That's right.
Wow, this is new information.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that I totally effed up the news. I didn't even...
Well, I
should have been paying more attention.
You got to watch more Bill Maher. You'll learn all about these things.
Drudge Report is on there, too.
That's right.
A jury in New York rejected a New York woman's $10 million lawsuit against Benihana for killing her husband.
I wasn't sure how that came out. Wow. I was like, wait, did it sound like I said she killed her husband or Benihana killed her husband?
Benihana,
apparently. The family of Jerry Colatus went to Benihana for a party, and he hurt his neck dodging a shrimp.
Yeah. Wow. My grandfather went that way.
Then he died?
Well, the family claims to have...
Bag. I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah, me too.
I hope he dies again.
Yeah, I hope he gets in a car crash with Louis' daughter.
Dead body gets in.
The family claims to have pleaded with the chef to stop throwing crustaceans. And months after the Benihana visit, Colatus had surgery for numbness in his arm due to the neck injury. Then he died from a fever that his family says was a complication from the surgery. They say Benihana and only Benihana set in motion the forces that led to his death.
Set in motion the forces.
Here's the thing about that. First off, if you can't handle some flying fish, you got to stay out of Benihana.
Yeah.
go to the Golden Panda or something like that, where the food ain't flying around. Number two, these things where people are killed by things that are sort of wouldn't even be a one on anyone else's injury meter. Yeah. They're defective, therefore they get nothing. You know, they have these people all the time. I got into a car accident. Well, there's no damage done to your car whatsoever. The car hit your car 2 miles an hour. Oh yeah, well I had to have spinal fusion. I have a titanium rod where my spine used to be, and I can no longer work, so therefore I'm suing. No, you're defective.
Yep.
If I shake your hand, I say, hey, how are you doing? I shake your hand, and you have some sort of bone disease, and I break every bone in your hand, but I don't even squeeze down on it. You're defective, right?
Yeah.
Therefore, you get nothing.
Right.
There has to be sort of normal parameters that we judge these cases by.
Yeah, no, if I go out in the parking lot when I leave here and I put a gun in my mouth and shoot myself, my wife can't sue you guys just because that game was so awful.
Right. I'm guessing she's going to...
She might have a case. I don't know. Yeah. I mean...
By the way, once the party's over, I bet she will sue us.
Maybe.
Once the champagne dries up, once the insurance money's been gone through, once she's done effing the pool man and the gardener, I bet she comes to us. If the statutes of limitations have not run out by that point, I bet we hear from her attorneys.
Maybe.
That's me. That's just me.
Maybe.
All right. His neck was hurt by flying shrimp.
Dude. I think there's worse things.
Too.
The
worst
thing than flying around than shrimp.
Worst thing about Benihana is not the flying food. It's you sitting next to the strange couple that's trying to party a little too hard. Mm-hmm. Gone for too many sake bombs. Now the guy suggests swinging. At a certain point, it's weird.
Wouldn't want to drive across the country with that guy.
No,
I'll say you, Louis.
Yeah.
No.
I'm sorry, that's wrong.
Did he get that one right?
No, I'm sorry. Even though there was no other possible contender for that one, I'm still wrong.
So you know how Denise Richards and Charlie Sheen, like, it's totally over now?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Charlie did this to himself by accidentally sending an email to Denise that was meant for one of the hookers that he'd been banging.
Here's the thing. Fellas, please, heads up. You know how we always make fun of women and teenage girls for keeping a diary?
Yeah.
You fool. You're explaining exactly what you did. Oh, you tried some pot, and then you laid down with this guy from your junior college class or something, and then you write it all down. Your stepmom finds you, and now you're grounded, whatever. Don't write it down. The computer is that for guys.
Yes.
This is our diary. And it's everything's traceable. Mm-hmm. All the times, all the internet porn, all the horrible emails. Stay away from it, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad idea.
Bad idea.
Also, don't marry Charlie Sheen if you don't like guys who like hookers. What are you doing? Stop for you?
Yeah, assume if you marry a vegan, you're not going to be eating pot roast.
No. Yeah, it's stupid. No,
yeah.
She's stupid.
So basically she was asking for it, not him. She caused this. Well, this is her fault.
Here's the whole thing. Once you get a taste for hookers, that's it. You're like a bear that's tasted human blood. Like, you need more.
Exactly.
Yeah, you don't do this with hookers. Well, in my teens and mid 20s I was into the prostitutes, but now that I'm 33,
Yeah.
I say fair to that.
It's her fault. Hooker.
Yeah, this is all her fault.
It is her fault. I hope she dies and he dies. And I hope their kid gets hit by a car.
That's right. That's right.
The whole Sheen
clan.
All of them. I hope Martin dies.
Father, too.
By the way,
I hope Emilio Estevez gets in a plane crash where his plane collides with Denise's father's plane. mid-air collision.
What word has more range than clan? You know, you're saying about a religious family. Oh, yeah. the whole Parkinson clan. Look, they're great folks over there. The Parkinson. They sing together. They worship. That's a great clan. And then you have the clan.
The clan.
A lot of range in that word.
Mm-hmm. And finally, in Italy, a judge has rejected attempts by an atheist to sue his local priest for saying that Jesus existed. Luigi Cassioli says he's going to take this to the highest level of court. He's going to go to the Hague.
Yeah.
And the judge has recommended that Cassioli be investigated for slandering the judge now.
Well, now, yeah, that's got to be great detail. Like, People versus Benihana. Who's next on the docket?
Yes.
The guy's suing God. I heard, I was watching court TV, and I pulled a clip from it, so I think we have a little soundbite from that.
Yeah, I'm live. I'm real.
Oh, this is Jesus.
I don't know why this food tripping, you heard?
Out on the court, yeah.
I got a roll. Tick and Boo just pulled up my Escalade. I got to rob some Peter to pay Paul.
Yeah, I guess it's nothing worse than being hauled into court, you know, for some frivolous lawsuit. And when you're Jesus, yeah, and you got real work to do.
Yeah.
Summoning lightning with your fingers and whatnot.
I think if Jesus comes back, it is going to be like, he'll just be on MSNBC with words scrolling under him and nobody's going to really...
Yeah.
That'll be it.
Just have the crawl.
That's it. It'll be him with the crawl talking for a minute. And then, you know, Britney Spears will do something weird and people will forget.
All right. I'm Rachel Perry. That's the news for now.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Of course, we got to talk about this gambling hockey, the gambling ring in the NHL. But first, I want to talk about an odd story that's been going on here in Southern California. A jury has ruled that the Angels did not breach a contract with the city of Anaheim when the team changed its name from the Anaheim Angels to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. The city of Anaheim was arguing that the team violated a stadium lease, cost the city $100 million in revenue by changing the name. Of course, they did it just to sell more stuff to a wider base of people. Now, Angels owner Artie Moreno has changed the name again. It is now the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim in California, who remind you to visit beautiful Vancouver and that Virginia Beach is for lovers.
Wow.
NBA last night.
That's very long.
The Kings of shorts and that. It's a little clunky. Yeah,
it is.
The shirts are going to be, the t-shirts are going to be ridiculous. Kings of shorts and Ento, they were winners last night. Tonight they're in Phoenix, while the Red Hot Clippers welcome Memphis to beautiful downtown Los Angeles. Now, back to this story about the gambling ring involving Phoenix Coyotes coach Rick Tocchet. And more importantly, Wayne Gretzky's wife, Janet. It's a great story now that sources are saying she bet over the course of the police investigation $500,000 and $75,000 specifically on the Super Bowl, which just makes me wild.
How much did you bet on the Super Bowl?
No, I didn't. I wouldn't sully that. The purity of enjoying the event.
It is. Never. That is hot. Imagine what Louis C.K. would do to that doorman's hand.
Yeah. Now, of course,
this knowledge.
Now, of course, Wayne Gretzky, you know, faithful husband that he is, is
devoted.
More interested in making sure that that there's no stink on him. So here you go.
Right. I felt like the last 3 days I've defended myself over something that is absolutely unequivocally never happened.
Yes. Well, husband of the year. Don't worry about taking care of the old ladies, long as no one thinks you had anything to do with it. Now, I called Janet.
Well, at least he's not calling for his kids to get in car accidents.
I think it's Denise Richards' fault.
That's true. Now, I tried to call Janet, I should say, to get her take on the whole thing, but I don't know if I got a bad connection or if I dialed the wrong number, but I got this.
Hey, Janet Jones here. Welcome to my Red Hot Hotline, where the smart money knows when it comes to gambling, this lady is a champ. Call right now for my Gold Star NBA Choice of the Weekend. I've hit my last 18 picks, which is 18 more hits than my Nancy Boy husband made during his whole career. And if you call in the next 5 minutes, I'll give you the over-under on the length of my jail term. My husband might be 99, but my picks are 100% guaranteed. All winnings must be reported to the federal government. This message is not approved by my sister's spouse.
Wow. Wow.
She's got a gambling line.
You're just trying to call her at home.
Janet Jones.
I know. I love, I don't know what I love more about this story, that the great one is being busted for the beauty, Janet Jones, from Gymkhana. Oh, no, American Anthem. Whatever the hell. She was in
American
one of those
Anthem
gymnastic
with Mitch
movies.
Gaylord. Ironically, the only male gymnast who isn't gay, but Mitch Gaylord.
Has the word Gaylord right at the end there. Yeah, that she's doing this, or that you're obsessed with Wayne Gretzky because of your love of Mario Lemieux.
It's pick'em. It's called a pick'em. And finally, this is I love this story. There's a Denver Nuggets fan who's upset with Nuggets player Kenyon Martin. Because apparently Kenyon Martin, the guy was heckling Kenyon Martin, and Kenyon Martin said something, called him whitey, you know?
Ooh, nice. Really?
Yeah, so here's, this is what the fan had to say.
It was some cussing words to me. It was about, he called me a fat white boy, and when he got that part of it, I said, whoa, I said, I'm not the guy who said it, it's the guy two rows back.
Well, and for his part, you know, Kenyon Martin is now upset. He doesn't. He feels like he had nothing to even do with it, and he defended himself in a press conference last night.
By golly, I'm downright steamed. This no good maroon is saying this, that, and the other about me calling him whitey. And now my boss, Mr. Sheldrake, wants to take some moolah out of my pocket. Why, if I see this jamook out on the street, he's going to get more than a piece of my mind, I don't mind telling you.
So, I mean, Kenyon
Hard
Martin.
Hitting.
Kenyon
That's,
Martin.
That's surprising.
Yeah, he's outraged.
Hey, those people, it's like they have their whole language of their own, those folks.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Nice job. All right, I want to thank Louis C.K. for coming by. Lucky Louis.
That's right.
HBO. If the show's a hit, let me do a little guest role on it.
No.
I pray that you get into an airline, Craig. I pray. www.louisck.com, and you can see him tonight at the Hollywood Improv. That's right.
Also, Monday I'm at Largo. I got a lot of people from the cast of Lucky Louie on the show, too. Louis C.K. friends at Largo Monday. Sorry, I threw that in there.
No. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll be right back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM. Let's do this.
Yeah. 866-901-ADAM. Louis C.K. has left the building. Still got more show to go, though. We had done our show to Get to Know Yourself karaoke songs all throughout. I thought it'd be a good way to have a laugh and let people know who's working on the show. We covered just about everybody, but still a few more to go. Jerron, intern Jerron's very strong with an assist from Big Tad yesterday. Let's listen to a second of that.
Big Tad.
Yeah.
Let's kick it.
Jerron the intern. Jerron the intern.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Jerron is on the mic with my introduction. You might know me as the guy who really sucks at Ass Kids Rodeo. I wake up every morning at 4 and drive 45 minutes to come get more education from the best talk show host in the entire nation. Wow. Adam, you're simply the best. You are better than all the rest. Can you help me find a job? Oh, by the way, I like to watch SpongeBob. I once sprayed myself with mace. My favorite website is MySpace. Yo, Tad. You know sales girl Brittany?
Yeah, yeah. She's really pretty.
And she.
All right, hold on. It's funny, but it's surreal when he does it because he's blacker than Wesley Snipes. And to have a guy butcher this song. I know it sounds horrible, but it adds a surreal quality. And it's nice to know that there is one man of color that I actually may have more rhythm than. That's intern Jerron. Now, Bill, our board op, Bill is yet to go.
Yep.
How you feeling, brother?
Feeling good. I'm ready.
Hair's looking clean today.
Yep, thank
you. I like that. Got your cans on. You have your song picked
out. Going in, he's more confident than any performer to this point.
Hmm. Yeah.
I got a good lineup.
You do? You feeling strong?
I got a good song. I got some good lyrics. Yeah.
All right. All right.
Good person to do it on.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
All right.
My Sharona.
Yeah. Warming up. That's enough.
Ooh, I wake up early, very early. Bet my
my cat, kiss my man, drive my Subaru to be Bill's reporter. I greet Angie and I get copy the log, give it to Brusca, cause I am Bill's reporter. Turn on the microphones, turn them off, play a little music. I tell Brusca 10 times a break how much time is left, cause I'm Bill Mahoney.
Oh, that's his last name.
Bill Mahoney. Ooh, I fixed the skill for Tad, for word Tad. But Adam blamed it on Brusca, not Bill the board up. Stare all morning at Adam and Mike and at Rachel and at Dave's bald spot, cause I'm Bill the board up. Turn on the microphones, turn them off. Did I mention I'm gay? I tell Brusca 10 times a break how much time is left, cause I'm Bill, woo! Bill Mahoney. Bill Mahoney.
Nice.
When do we get a break?
A little something off Get the Knack. Then Bill goes home and gets the sack.
Yeah.
Because he's gay, Bill the boy. No, listen, Brusca, don't laugh so hard at that. People know what's going on in your mind.
I've been dating too long to get sex anymore anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've
interesting.
Been together. Yeah, it's like marriage.
Dried up for the fellas.
Yeah.
I understand the lesbian couples drying up because that's two women who've been together for 10 years deciding on when to have sex next, and that's going to be every 5 years. But guys...
Well, you like to change a hammer every once in a while, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what?
That's a Carpenter reference.
You like to change a hammer.
He's saying once in a while you want to put down the 22-ounce waffle-ended Vaughn with the hatchet handle and pick up a nice 18-ounce smooth head finish nailer.
Yeah. Or maybe a little...
That couldn't have been a better analogy.
Thank you. Thank you. You horny?
I don't think so. That was just weird.
I was talking to a guy once, and he said he's a framer, and I said, "Oh," and I did say, "You got the 22-ounce Vaughn with the waffle end and the hatchet handle, and something, something." And then I don't know what happened, but a minute later, I said, "Well, what kind of hammer do you have?" And he said, "22-ounce Vaughn with the hatchet handle and the waffle end." And I thought, "Wow." And then the most interesting part of life is you didn't want to bring that up. You know, one time I was talking to a chick and said, I was yelling at her and saying, listen, your loser boyfriend's going to go back to his crappy job over the batting cage and you're going off to college. And then a few minutes later, I said, where does your boyfriend work, by the way? I bet it's a stupid job. And she said, the batting cage. And I said, you didn't at all think that was weird? Well, that's where he works. I know, but then I said he worked there. We'd never spoken before. Well, he works there. Okay, let's just keep moving. Speaking of keeping moving, a nice job, Bill. That's up there. I got to tell you, it was ambitious. It was bumpy. It wasn't perfect, but what music is, it was raw.
Yeah.
It's almost tribal. Powerful stuff. And like I said, trying to stuff 6 minutes worth of song into 60 seconds is nice. Nice job. All right, we were talking yesterday and the day before about favorite songs, least favorite songs because of the Grammy week, and there's still some folks we haven't gotten to. We did mine and Rachel's and all that, but we haven't gotten to Mike, our engineer in here, the man who runs the sound effects.
Hello.
And much more. Mike Lynch. You have your favorite and least favorite song. We got Jimmy Brusca's favorite and least favorite. What do we got? Let's hear your favorite first.
All right, this is my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Mm, another Beatles.
I want to tell you. George Harrison written.
He wrote it.
Yeah.
This is the Beatles, though, but he's singing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He wrote it. It's that chord right there. It's a brand new chord. It never existed before this song.
It's great. Yeah, the thing that, one of the reasons I'm in love with Mike Lynch, and I think Sheck agrees with me on this one too, is we both immediately decided that George Harrison, solo career, most
far
favorite.
Superior.
Far superior. Yeah, I know Paul McCartney had a couple of good songs with Wings, and of course Ringo, forget about that. But As I saw Paul McCartney singing one of his new original songs at the Grammys a couple nights ago, it made me wish George Harrison was still around. And I like his solo work much more than anyone else in the band.
I would trade all of Lennon's post-Beatles work for just All Things Must Pass by George Harrison.
Yeah, Lennon, exquisitely overrated. Maybe I'll be going to hell with Louis C.K. and Charlie Sheen, but... He had a nice message to his music, but in general, it seemed kind of sloppy and boring.
Listen to that bass.
Yeah. All right, so that is your favorite.
That is my favorite song.
God love George Harrison. And then, what is your least favorite?
My least favorite song is just the ultimate in drunk chick song. If you've ever been drunk and had a vagina, you've sung the song at some point.
Done and done.
I'm positive.
All right. Oh, karaoke. Yeah.
Ugh.
It's true.
I'd rather listen to a bullet going through my head.
I agree with you on this. I agree with you on the sentiment, but the song I think more women love to sing is I Will Survive.
Well, that's bad, too.
I think that's gay men like to sing that song, not women.
Yeah, well, what's the difference, really? I mean, sorry, Bill, but yeah. Yes, I agree with you. This was a fun, campy song when it was in the musical, but after enough of my wife's drunken friends have claimed the karaoke stage and crapped this one out, it's now ruined for me forever.
Well, here's the worst part of the song. I'm going to stop it for a second. I'll play you the part that kills me is the very end. The summer. Right here. With that.
I would like to ban that from karaoke the same way I'd like to ban Moni Moni from the wedding dance. Ooh. When that thing hits and all the old hipsters, oh, Moni Moni, oh, ride that pony. Moni Moni. I don't even know what they're talking about, but I say feh to that.
I got to give honorable mention, too, to Jukebox Hero. That was a close one, too.
Yeah, you're talking about, is that Foreigner?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, any song that starts with Johnny got a six string, it's gonna play it till his fingers bleed. You know, there used to be a time when if you started a rock band, you had to write a song about rambling, you had to write a song about life on the road, and you had to write a song about how you guys got started. Just going to high school. One of the guys dropped out because his girlfriend got pregnant. You guys lived out of a van. And you traveled and you slept in the van and you didn't get any money. But when you got up on stage and the lights went on, that's when you came alive. And then the man came around smoking a cigar and he's waving a contract in front of you. He said, boy, sign here. And you sold your soul to the devil. But you kept rocking. Just love to have been. There's certain places I've liked to have been during the pitch session, like, you know, for the Hogan's Heroes pitch. I wish I was there for that. I would like it when the lead singer of the band showed up and tried to pitch this one to us. He does a little a cappella. All right. How old are you? Are you high? This sucks. Now you got to keep it rocking. I like this part. He breaks in it, but he's got to keep it rocking. Bought it at the... No one ever buys a new guitar. A shiny, expensive new guitar. My rich dad came home with it. He's not going to stop a rock until he gets to the top.
Stars in the eyes.
What's sadder, this song or watching Big Cat rock out right now? Now, what happened, though? Something happened. Hey, life on the road didn't treat him right, or the band, or he sold this one guitar. Did something happen?
I don't know.
You just tuned out after the first 10 minutes of the Jukebox Hero? All right. Well, that is... Uh-oh, it's raining now. But wouldn't you rather hear
your wife and her drunken friends get up and do this rather than Summer Lovin'.
I'll take this over that song any day.
Now he needs to keep a rockin'. You stop rocking, you die. That's what I've learned from a lot of this song. Yeah. See, somewhere along the line, you lose the eye of the tiger, though. You get away from it. You forget what brought you together, what brought you on stage to rock. It wasn't for the money. It wasn't for the fame. It was for the love of rock. Then you got fat, and you got soft, and you lost, and then you get it back at some point. But I do like it when the man comes in with his contract and the cigar. Wow. Now, what I'm telling you, go put your headphones on and go forward in that song and just find me the part where things go south for the jukebox. Here, it's a 25-minute song, or at least it feels that way. All right, Brusca. Quickly, producer Brusca.
Yeah, you want to take a break and do me after the break?
I'd like to
do you during
the break, actually. Yeah, give me your good. Give me your good and your bad.
All right.
Start off with just give me the good, and then maybe we'll do a break.
Okay, quickly, I know a lot of people I like and stuff, and Bruce's sure. The Rising is probably my favorite album, because mm-hmm. it just was so
Springsteen.
Good. Yeah.
Right.
After 9/11.
From New Jersey.
Well, I'm from Brooklyn, and it Same did hit life. A chord with me. But after 9/11, it was was the right thing, and it was a great album. But my favorite song, because it had some social commentary in it, and it also was rocked a little bit, Neil Young. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Southern Man.
Little Southern Man.
Sung it as a rebuttal to Sweet Home Alabama.
No, actually, this song came first.
Oh, and then they sung it as a rebuttal
and
to that.
And I was going to mention, that's the only song really to have a rebuttal from another band that was so, I mean, inspired such conflict.
I think rappers do it now, but this is certainly groundbreaking stuff.
Yeah, and but plus it just had some social commentary. It's a good riff. I like Neil Young.
Neil Young.
I love Neil Young, actually.
Really?
Yeah, and listen, I'm not as passionate about music and pop culture as you guys are, but... Mm.
What about... I like Cinnamon Girl.
Nerds.
I think Cinnamon Girl's my
That's my
kind
way of saying
nerds. Nerds. Go hang out with
Rob. And Pearl Jam is also probably my favorite band, but... Mm. And I know we agree on some of those songs.
I find, honestly, Neil Young to be sort of grating. Can't help
not the
it.
Best
There's
voice.
About his voice.
Yeah, not
something.
The best voice, Fantastic. But I just chose that song also because... It says a little bit about myself, and I'm a little bit of a liberal, and I think that song, the words, it still
growing up
resonates
in the South,
today.
Steeped in that
culture. Not from the South, but I been to the South and some of those.
You've flown over the South on your way to LA.
I've been
couple
there
times.
Many times.
Oh, and the lyrics NASCAR actually, racing. Yeah.
Exactly. I did some NASCAR racing, and the lyrics, it's still kind of true today.
All right. I like that.
So,
you know?
That was my best, my worst.
Yeah, and let me say this. The best doesn't have to be the one that has the best beat or that you snap your fingers to.
Right.
The message, times.
Right, exactly.
Interesting. Okay.
Right. That had a message.
So, give me your worst.
Worst, I mean, to your criteria, well, first of all, Tears for Fears. Any of the 80s music. I hate the 80s music.
Yeah.
I hate it.
That is bad.
Oh,
yeah.
It's awful. And Tears for Fears' Shout is an honorable mention.
Ooh,
worst of all time.
Yes, it's whiny
just
rock.
Just because it rhymes with Get the F Out or whatever and everyone sings along. You have it?
Yeah.
All right. This is my worst.
This is an attack.
This is my worst because I don't understand to your criteria as why Grateful Dead would be like a popular band or when you get this song, like when you go on the internet and you type in top 100 songs, this song makes it. This is the worst song. It's only because people, and I don't understand the whole Grateful Dead thing. The Grateful Dead thing, I do not understand how people like this band. This song is so self-indulgent. I'm trucking. Who cares where you're going? I don't really care. And the music is terrible. And, you know, nothing against, you know, Grateful Dead fans, but the music is awful. And how people think this is good music or this is a good song, I don't understand it. I don't get it, and I never will. But, of course, I'm from Brooklyn, so... You know
the
not
beauty,
a big hippie culture in Brooklyn.
The beauty of some... Well, I thought you were from the South, by the way. But the beautiful thing about all songs is all you have to do is pick one lyric and then say, trucking. Who cares? Where are you trucking? And it works. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies? Spacious skies? What are you talking about?
No, I mean, they're trucking.
I know.
Who cares what they're doing?
I understand. Why this
and
is an attack.
An epic.
Lynch is upset.
I'm sorry, Lynch.
Dead
it's
fan.
About their days on the road. It was.
Who cares about them?
They're singing about life.
Neil Young sung about, like, you know, America and what's going on. These guys are singing about themselves, and the music is terrible. It's terrible.
All right, hold on a second. This is going to be a very uncomfortable break.
And I never understood why Grateful Dead is put in some pedestal, and it just awful.
Wow, Mike, please contain yourself. Let me try to address this. First off, it's a strange call because the guy who likes the Southern Man and the Neil Young, you think would be the same guy who'd be down with the Dead, or at least tolerant of it. I understand the Tears for Fears part,
right?
But this is incredible. This is out of left field. Blindsided. I think Grateful Dead A's the live vibe. Number two, songs like Hell in a Bucket and Uncle John's Farm and stuff like that are good songs. But yeah. I agree. This one, while not bad, is a little burnt out, a little overused.
Here's the problem with the Grateful Dead. Their music is pretty good. I like their music, as a matter of fact. This song isn't among their best, but they're good. It's not the Grateful Dead that deserves your contempt. It's their fans. They're the ones who sully the whole
That's
deal.
That's part of it. That's
the Grateful Dead, Jerry Garcia, what you will about him. Say what you will. Maybe not as a spectacular musician, but at least unique. When you hear him playing guitar, you know you're listening to the Grateful Dead, and there's something to be said for that. It's sort of like the Grateful Dead. You don't hate the Red Sox. You hate the Red Sox fans.
What?
Oh, that's really the problem.
No.
I think that's part of it.
Lynch, right. Red Sox fan. What are you a bigger Sox fan or a bigger Grateful Dead fan? He just gave me his resignation.
I'd probably go bigger Sox fan just because.
But second only. I mean, first, close second, Grateful Dead fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd go Fish over both of those.
Wow, what an attack. What an attack.
I do consider myself one of the good Grateful Dead fans that Sheck isn't lumping in. I mean, I'm not spinning around in circles.
I'm talking about the androgynous people, the guys who wear the skirts and, the people, spin around for 3 hours in a tight circle.
And it's not like this is all I listen to. I can get down with AC/DC, a lot of good stuff.
You don't have to defend yourself. No one is attacking you. We're going to take a break. Lynch is going to kick Brusca right in his hanky sack. And we'll be right back after this.
You're sick of hanging around and you like a travel.
Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Well, just about out of show. Just enough time to name this week's Employee of the Week. It's Friday. We name Employee of the Week.
Crossed.
This year, Adam Carolla. Yeah, and I said year because I'm just going through the entire calendar year. So I'm naming myself Employee of the Week. Thank you. Put the picture up, Ruska.
Congratulations.
Holding the spatula in the hall. I want to thank Lisa. Oh, I want to thank Jeff Probst for coming in from Survivor. 8 o'clock, CBS. Louis C.K., Hollywood Improv. Tonight, tomorrow night, louisck.com is where you can find more about him. Lisa Loeb, sexy, coming in next week. Caroline Ray, funny. David Allen Greer, black. Deborah Norville, white. Pat O'Brien, not sure what he is. Mark Burnett's coming in, the mastermind behind all those reality shows. All that next week. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.